Blog Talk Radio.
Out there with the holiday seasons and everything going on, just like it was been. I'm pretty sure it's kind of chaotic out there in some of the shopping centers. And right now, I really don't want to be out there. That could just be one of those places where you just think about it and go, no, can't do it. Anyway, the situation and some of the things are going on, I don't know. I think we should be focusing on the other things. Some people have a tendency to get caught up in this little thing where they just feel like they need to get to everybody. Not the ideal expression of love, just feel like they need to get at something for everyone. And you can look at the situation, good or bad. But sometimes with the situations of putting things in perspective, it's just stepping back and looking at the situation and what you're doing something for. I mean, if you're getting repetitive, repetitive about going over and over again, something you do every year, you have no idea why, then I think you should step back and take a look at the situation and go, why am I doing this? I think you should always give in love, as always, but I'm just saying with the situation. I think in some sense of the word, if you feel like you really shouldn't be doing it, then you shouldn't be doing it. And for example, it's like giving someone a gift who, I don't know, it's just, it's like, oh, for example, if someone going out to the dollar store and just buying footies for a dollar for everybody. Just, I guess it's one of those things, if someone's trying to make themselves look good, and they're doing it for the wrong reason. And it's just, you know, when they sit and look at situations like that, they also say, you know, in the process of giving like that, it also, you know, it's one of those things that has a tendency to hurt you and the person you're giving to, so it doesn't do any good. You know, it's just one of those things you're giving all the time because you feel like you want attention. Then try to step back and see if you could actually do it. I'm not saying not do it. I'm just saying do it in a different light. Do it in a loving way. I was sitting there focusing on some things I had written, and I wrote this just out of the blue, where I was just sitting there thinking one day about finding something within myself, and this just came out, where it just said, I was looking for peace in my life by looking for that missing piece, which turned out to be me. You know, I just feel like at that moment, people's Western philosophy, yeah, but isn't it something on the some word, something to live by? When you're always looking for something, don't we all say that you need to take a look within yourself? And doesn't this pretty much put it that way, where it says, I was looking for peace in my life? We're all looking for peace in our life. And we're looking for missing pieces, we think. When we turned out, the only thing that's missing is us, not contributing, as at the point we talked about before, loving ourselves. You know, they always say they start to start the greatest romance in your life is to start loving yourself. And once you learn how to do that unconditionally, then it's pretty much easier from that moment on to love anybody unconditionally, no matter what they've done, to realize that, you know, people are people. They are who they are. But does it mean we should love them any less? I don't think so. And with the situation of looking at some things, looking at this, that, and the other, it does make you wonder. Sometimes we feel like we're spinning our wheels. when actually we're not spinning our wheels. We just haven't got our wheels solidly on the ground, or some people say our feet on the ground in a solid way. So therefore, you're just somewhere along the line. You're up in the air. If you have a comment about the situation, give us a call in here. And if you want to give a reading, we are doing this call. I'm trying to look this thing up real quick where I was sort of looking at some things where sometimes the switchboard does not want to cooperate. You try to figure it out and try to figure what's going on. But tonight is basically Free Angel Reading Roundtable Past Life Wednesday. So in the process, we're going to try to do some past lives here. But also, I'll caution everybody, when you come into the situation, I want you to be open-minded to actually what is going to happen. So therefore, we can actually get the information to come through a whole lot quicker and clearer. And also with the readings and that kind of stuff, too. When you tell the truth and you're open to finding the truth, that's what you find. And usually you have a tendency to realize that you always knew that. It was just the idea of getting motivation to follow through with what you already knew. And we have no problem doing that. So this get, I was sitting there looking at something. I wanted to go over real quickly and say, okay, tonight I've been seeing this quite a bit. 222, and I actually wanted to basically share that with you. 222 in my angel number book, which is actually Angel Numbers 101 by Doreen Virtue. And pretty soon here, I'm going to take the time and take all the books and stuff that I have. I'm going to put them on my website so you can actually, when I recommend books and you don't catch it all the one time, all you got to do is go to my website and find the books on there. Make it easier for you. Also, the situation, I'm putting links on there too to make it easier for you to go certain things and that kind of stuff. So therefore, when we recommend certain things, it's a whole lot easier for you just to go to my website, check it out. Plus, my website is actually, that's another thing too, I do private readings as well. I do life coaching. I'm an empath. I also do palm readings, life coaching, relationship counseling. I do angel card readings. We have this thing where we call them 7-card angel readings. They're very phenomenal. If you're a person who has Skype and want to talk to me in, you know, video, and you want to see what's going on, you see the cards, that kind of stuff, you can do that too as well. And the website is, we actually have different variations. We have 5 cards, 7 cards. We also have a 1-card reading you can get for, I think it's a 15-minute reading that you can actually get for $9.99. Where we take 1 card out of the deck and we do one reading. We do a reading for you from that 1 card. And that's something I've been really working on perfecting. Also with the 7 cards and the 5 cards, those readings are something that seem to be constantly keep evolving. So you should take advantage of those things. Because right now, it's got some great prices. And all you need is, for a 60-minute reading, it's $33.33. For a 40-minute reading, it's $22.22. And for a 20-minute reading, it's $11.11. And like I said, we also got a 1-card reading, which is like a 15-minute reading, for $9.99. And if you want to take advantage of the relationship counseling and the life coaching, those are 90-minute sessions for $77.77. So, you know, these are some great prices. They're going to be going on until the end of the year. I say the end of the year or the first of the year, whichever one you want to jump onto. We might actually sit here and say, as of January, we'll honor all those things up to January 1st. All you got to do is give us a call at 740-500-8863, or you can also call me through Skype. I have a Skype number, but it can still do the whole thing if you want. Because I do palm readings, and I can do palm readings over Skype, and also dream interpretation and all those things too as well. So just give us a call at 740-500-8863, or call us through Skype, which is 740-601-9835. You can contact me through my webpage, which is also www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Again, those numbers again are 740-500-8863, or Skype number at 740-601-9835, and my website is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. You can go to the contact page and contact me through there if you like too as well, and I would definitely call you back, whichever is more convenient for you. But there's some great prices right now, and they're going on to the end of the year. So jump in there. If you're not one of those people who's in the need of a reading, then it's holiday season, isn't it? And we also have gifts. You can also get gift certificates, which means all you got to do is call me up and that kind of thing. We also have, you can also call me after the show's over with. We also have blocks of time too as well. So therefore, take advantage of all those things. We have all kinds of options for you. So I'm pretty sure if you want to get a reading and you want to do it with me, just give me a call. Those numbers I gave you. And we can work with anybody's budget. So don't let the prices scare you off. But there's some really good prices. So get in there before the end of the year. And plus, the number I was talking about was 222, which is a very good number, because if you look at 11, 11, 11, which everybody says 11s are really good manifestation numbers, of basically saying the energy is very high at that moment. So you basically, you can manifest things at will. They also caution you that when you do that, to make sure that you're focusing on nothing but what you want and positive thoughts, because, you know, that kind of energy, you can manifest anything. So whatever you're thinking of will happen. So if it's something you don't want, you'll get that as quick as well. And this is when you take the 11, 11, 11 and you knock it down to single digits, and then we have 2, 2, 2, which basically is talking with 11, 11, 11, you're focusing on manifesting it. And 2, 2, 2 is basically saying, trust that everything is working out exactly as it's supposed to, with divine blessings for everyone involved. Let go and have faith. See, when you let go and you have faith, that's what you do with the situation and that kind of stuff. Oh, let's see. You know, we have a dog that barks at anything. If you drop a piece of paper, probably the dog's barking. Anyway, we're going to get to our callers here in a second, I promise. Everybody just hang right in there. All righty. Oops. Okay. All right. So just give us 2 minutes. We were going over some things, and I recommend to people that you really put things in there and write what you need to do. I wrote this poem the other day. One of the things I wanted to share too as well was it's called Mad. And basically it goes like this. Sitting here today drinking my tea. Another day, why can't you let us be? Focusing. I'm tired of thinking of the reasons why. Days without you are zooming by. You're here always in my dreams. Waking up the pain, I want to scream. You were so mean. Will I ever know why? I will never say I hate you or say goodbye. In my mind, you're in my arms. Showing you love, life's loving charms. Sharing life's journey, me and me with you. I'm sorry, without your smile, what can I do? And it's one of those things, you just sit there and it's one of those things I just keep focusing on. Sometimes I'm sure we're all in the same mode. We're always wondering why. And if you notice the poem, the way it ends, we're still in that kind of situation. Usually when these things unfold, we still have that sense in ourselves of why. And the reason I wrote the poem was just trying to figure out some things, which, as you see here, I never really figured out anything. Yeah, why? I'm wondering why. So the why sometimes have a tendency to go on until we stop and think. That's the point. Why we're wondering about situations with people that we're no longer with, and realizing that maybe the point is what's actually going on at that moment, which is we're not with them. They refuse to acknowledge anything between us. So therefore, in the process of sitting back and wondering why, our lives have stopped. We're not moving forward anymore. And that's what I decided to do, was just let go of everything. Well, like I've done so many times before, and I know I get great results when I let go. And I looked at the 222 when it says let go. Everything's falling into place just the way it's supposed to. It always will and always has. It's just the idea of getting caught up in the whole thing and going, you know something? Why did that person do that? And why did they do this? And I know they love me, and you just can't. You just keep asking the questions over and over and over again, not realizing how much time did it take you to sit there and think about those things. And I always tell everybody, if you follow your heart, you'll know. So you look at the situation and go, okay. You come to the conclusion the person still loves you. They still care about you because you've seen it in the conversation, that kind of stuff. Well, let it go. Excuse me, and let love do what it's supposed to do, right? the law of attraction, the love attraction. You know, if you look, sit there and look at the word, law of attraction says we attract. Like attracts like. So therefore, in the process of being that, being a person who's thinking about all the things and possibilities, we're not really focusing on anything. So therefore, we really can't pull anything to us, because we're not in the vibration of anything. We're in this motion of emotions, which we're like drowning in this freaking, it's like a pond of emotions, not realizing once we get out of the whole thing and start moving forward, emotions are not supposed to control us. They're just there for us to express certain things to certain people. And if we put it back in perspective, I think we learn a whole lot about ourselves. And the right, you know, people always say it all the time, you know, I'm unconditionally loving this person. Well, that's great, but are you unconditionally loving yourself? We all think we have to put it out there before we can actually be proven that we're unconditionally loving people, not realizing to prove to the world, as we say. And I really don't feel like we have to prove anything to the world. I'm just saying, maybe we should put it in perspective and say, okay, to show the world that I'm an unconditionally loving person is to unconditionally love myself. So therefore, it flows to me, and I unconditionally love people spontaneously, no matter what. Always tell yourself, today I send love to this world, and I call everyone my friend, regardless of who they are or what they've done. For I see only the Spirit of God in every person, including myself. Okay? So let's go on and start answering some questions. If you want to give us a call in here and get some questions answered, give us a call here at 646-721-9031. And like we said earlier in the show, I do private readings, so give us a call at 740-500-8863, or call me through Skype, which is actually 740-601-9835, or contact me through my web page, which is actually www.psychicxjourneyman.com. So let's go into our first caller here. I'm trying to look at this thing here. All right. Let's try it again. Alrighty, we have area code 615. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. And what's your name?
Can you hear me?
No,
hello?
The person behind you. Yeah, I'm talking to the person behind you.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I had my speakerphone on. I didn't know if you could hear me. I had to take it off. My name is Cheryl. I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee. I wanted to tell you what a wonderful poem. You just sang my song. You just were killing me softly, by the way.
I was reading
your information. Now, I'm kind of a little confused. You said you did like mini readings and then do past lives and then Angel Oracle by Doreen Virtue. I'm not exactly what to expect, you know.
That's a combination of all those things. So what we do is if someone calls in and says, okay, can you give me some insights on my past life? Then I focus on that. If you call in, when I do angel readings, I usually have my cards. But a lot of times I get information quicker. And then the cards, sometimes I pull the cards out. It's like getting two opinions in one reading, where the cards will back up the information that I've already received. Boy, that was hard to say. yeah, I was sitting there going on. Go ahead, sweetie.
I get a lot of, requests for people always wanting past life regression readings. There's very few people that really want to tackle that expertise, you know. I'm going to have to write that on your website again. I'll be listening. I mean, I've got you on Blog Talk. I also have a Blog Talk show as well, and on Friday nights, me and my cohort like to interview people like yourself, and we really don't have many people that do the past life regression. It's just, I don't know why.
Because
I find it,
you know,
so cleansing. It's so cleansing. The process is very long and diligent.
I'll
and
tell you
and
one
insidious.
Thing like this too late. I'll tell you this too, dear. When I do past life regressions, I give people a choice. Because I've done past, when I do past life readings, I said that's when I do those, that means I go back and do it for you. But a regression is what I do is I use Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael to hold your hand to progress back into a certain time in the past. To say, okay, the safety net.
Right.
Saying,
let right.
yourself go and realize that when you go to the past, what you're seeing is the shadows that used to be. They don't. They're not real. They were at one time,
illusions.
But now they're just illusions. Yeah. So when you go back, what you're doing mm-hmm. is you're an observer and you look and you see things what they are. So you can look at it and get a different perspective because you're looking at it. Like say you go back in a past life, you see yourself as a 10-year-old, but you're a 40-year-old. So you have the 40-year
right.
mentality. Look at the 10-year-old's mentality, saying, "Okay, this person's feeling guilty because he shot his mom," or and it was just one of those things where you can see it from another point of view and say, "Okay, it was an accident."
Right.
And then you realize that, like, it was an example of a lady. This girl, she was like eight, 9 years old. She was scared to death of confined areas, closets. No, she couldn't ride up in elevators. Couldn't even walk upstairs. And they did a past life regression with her. And all of a sudden, they were just sitting back. It was almost like an accident. They were just trying to do meditation to help her release something. All of a sudden, she starts describing things to her. And she was back in 1897, I think it was. And what had happened was the girl was actually buried in a coffin alive. But, but like you said, it's a cleansing.
It's a cleansing and a release, yeah.
Yeah, because after that, the girl didn't have any more fears of confined areas. So you see, it's like the cleansing part is to realize this woman, a new world just opened up for her. Now she can ride in elevators. Now
right,
she can walk upstairs.
You know that book that says, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" You know, people don't realize that it's a karmic fire, you know, that they're under. Once they get that information, it's a cleansing release. I'm finding, anyway, through my observation, for me, you know, and watching other people getting that deliverance in any way that they can get it, any form that they can get it in spirit, you know, for the good of the whole, of course.
The only thing I find that's so hard with past life regressions is we have a lot of people who are analytical. They want to be logical about everything. So the idea of really putting them under, they have this tendency to go, "Well, I can't see anything. But when I close my eyes, all I see is darkness." I'm like, you're supposed to see the darkness as walking down a hallway. And I've actually done this one where I tell people, I say, "Okay, we're going to go down a hallway, and you're going to see doors, and they're going to have numbers on them. Those are dates, the years. And I want you to go down that door, and then when you feel a feeling that you want to go up through a door, then walk through a door." And I've had all kinds of different things. When the process works, it's so amazing to sit there and see how people, with their own perceptions of what they see.
Exactly.
Kind of
like a waking dream interpretation.
Yes, but I've had a couple of people that I talked to, and then I finally ended up doing a past life reading for them because they just couldn't get past this lifetime. I understand. They knew there was some things that they needed to take a look at. But a friend of mine I had this friend of mine I used to work with in a shop, and she goes, "You are so amazing when it comes to past life." I said, "Why?" She goes, "As soon as they walk down and say something, you go there." And she goes, "I've been working on this so many years where I got to do certain things. I got to meditate." And I said,
"Exactly.
Well, I don't know. I don't know why it works that way, but I just know all of a sudden I start picking up with people. And I start picking these things up and start saying things. And it's amazing to hear them saying, "Well, I have that problem in this lifetime." I said, "That's why we're going back to those certain lifetimes to have you realize," like you said, people say karmic, and all of a sudden they freak out and go, "Okay, this is a karmic thing." Yeah, but if you're going back to these things, the reason I use angels is the idea of angels said, you can go back to past lives and you can look at these situations. You can make different decisions. Now, you know, the process is basically saying, people are saying, "Well, the decisions have been made. It already happened." Yes, but it's also helping you to go back and realize if you go back to a certain point in your past and past lives or whatever and make a different decision, which would give you a different outcome, what the outcome is to help you realize why are you hanging on to it. You don't need to hang on to it. Everybody says we have to deal with certain things. No, we don't. Mm-hmm. That's the karmic thing. You don't understand. The karma is saying, "I've done some bad things, so therefore I, you know, what's it called, cause and effect. I put something out there, and that's going to come back." But see, what people don't realize is it's energy. You can change that energy, so therefore you can. Yeah, you've already put it out there, but you can neutralize it. But we can neutralize that, so therefore it can come back in a positive way instead of like a boomerang and knock our heads off.
Right. I have sliced and diced my karmic wheel to all different angles, and I've really gone so far back I didn't. What my question was, I only have one question. I'm still in love with my ex-husband.
Yeah.
We have tried. We've divorced 6 years ago. We were married for 12 years. We have tried to attempt to get back together unsuccessfully, but karmically, I don't feel that we are over. I just want this burning question, if somebody can see if we will be back together. I feel that we will, but it could be just my own illusion. You know, it could be my obsession.
Well,
I don't know.
Right. When I look at the situation, I see it like this. You keep saying, get back together. And I think what
yes.
you need to do is change the wording and saying, get together. Do you see us getting together again? Because I feel like karmic, or as in destiny, or even the idea of twin
right.
flames, are getting together. Because I've had the same problem, too, when you sit there and go, okay, some relationships, if you look at them in the process of focusing on getting back together, they have a tendency to go back where they broke up.
Well, honestly, I feel like we're really not apart. We're just physically just not. We're just physically apart, to be honest.
Well, that's true, too. But it's also the idea of a lot of things, which for some reason I pick up more with him, of things. There's a lot of things that still need to be let go of. And I feel like once
exactly.
those things are let go of, then things are going to come back together like gangbusters, with the idea of, almost like I said before, quit chasing after anybody. Because if they're,
right.
if they're chasing after you, you guys are going to, when you collide, you're going to really hurt each other. And I said sometimes that kind of helps you understand why there are certain separations with people, because they came together so quickly and so violently.
Yeah, right? That happened to us.
Mm-hmm. So we have to sit here and look
but,
at the situation and realize it.
But
just,
I felt that
saying,
that was ordained to be, you know. For,
right,
you
but
know.
You also have to understand one
yeah.
thing. If you are twin flames, remember that you at one time you were a really brilliant, bright, powerful energy. But you haven't been
mm-hmm.
that way for a while. And then when you guys come back together, there has to be a neutral point of actually learning how to coexist again as one entity.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I was sitting there going, whoa, did I actually say that? Didn't take a
oh,
breath.
We have such but, incredible synergy, and I was listening to your poem, and I thought, you know, I'm a songwriter, so it's almost like, I wrote this song called Why, so, and it was almost like the poem and the song coexist together, and the song is called Why, and you were like, we ask why, and again, you know, again, the karmic, past life, whatever, is very cleansing and uplifting, and it, to me, it just helps move
too.
On. You know,
yeah.
I've seen so many past lives between he and I. Of course, you know, we all share past lives together. So,
mm-hmm.
And
I was kind of funny because when I read that, that was my poem called Mad, and then right behind it was kind of funny how you say I have a poem that's named Why, and so do I. It's just
like,
this one here was like I was sitting.
I have this thing
with Terry. I was like, I was sitting looking at this one. It was like it's named Why. With each tear that falls from my eye, I asked myself what happened, asking why.
Uh-huh.
You, your face so fresh in my mind, as is your beautiful essence of the times when you were kind. We always think about those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting. I went on and said, waiting for the time of your happy return, from the day we. Parted, my love still yearns. Me with you, we are so strong. My life without you would be so wrong. For every tear that I cry for you, I know our love for each other is true. Open your heart and let us be. Let me hold you in my arms and marry me. And it was like, I tell people when you sit there and focus on some of the poems I've done, it's like the ideal of an example of manifestation. Because they always end where it's like that's the outcome you want, just like a manifestation. But the one where I said mad, and I'm sitting here saying why, there was no
mm-hmm.
ending. So
right.
I was like,
I noticed
that's
that.
The truth. Yeah, there's no
mm-hmm.
truth. That's the truth. There is when we get caught up in that illusion of why, we think that if we actually analyze it over and over again, we'll figure out what happened to get back what we wanted. Which the truth is, we will. But like I've told people before, the things that you want, as in the relationship and the life you want, you're going to get those. But it's like realizing that that moment, it might not be with the person you think, but you still will get those things. That's the point. People don't understand. And there's so many people I've actually talked to who said, well, if I can't have him, I can't have what I want. They're using that as an excuse because they don't think they
mm-hmm.
can have what they want.
Right. Oh, yeah, you never know. It's almost like if you're not looking for it. You know, you put it out there in the universe and with God, and it boomerangs back to you. It manifests itself. And you never, you know, when people aren't looking for love, that's when usually that right someone comes into your life, and you just know it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to say any words. You know?
I think if we could actually recreate that, too, in the process of when we got together the first time.
Oh, yeah.
If we could recreate that when we got together the first time, we'll notice that those times, like you said before, we wasn't really doing anything. I mean, I remember I was really working, and I was working for this company Oranim, and I met this girl who just came in the room one day. But I was actually living my life. And it was like one of those things. I said, well, if I could actually go back and recreate what I did before. And so what was that? I said, I wasn't doing
anything.
You know?
Being yourself.
And that was the realization. Yeah, that was the realization. I was being myself, and it was the ideal of the situation. And sometimes with relationships, the reason they don't have a tendency to have longevity is because sometime along the line, we've actually forgotten ourselves, and we start being somebody else.
Right.
And then we start not recognizing ourselves.
Yeah. And we start picking up those aspects from other people, too. And
yeah, and I think that's when we do need to take our relationships back like they was in the beginning. Just the family and friends, because I've heard so many women to say this. I've never really had a lot of, I'm serious. When I sit here and say this, I'm saying this from experience, not because of trying to be judgmental. I'm just saying the women I've worked with, the one thing they have a trouble with is they get to a point and say, okay, my friends and family are really important. So they start hanging on to those things. When actually what's going on is a fear that they know they're going to have to let go of those things in favor of what they want, which is the ideal of the relationship. Not saying, like I said before, I always deal with things. I deal with things on an individual basis. So we know for a fact that there are some individuals out there that in relationships and that kind of stuff where there's a little more deeper than that. But I'm just saying with the situation when you're sitting there going, I'm confused, of, okay, everything's going great, and all of a sudden she wants to hang on to her friends. We were sitting there discussing this before, too. I said I have a theory that I've actually sit there and done a lot of research on where it's like looking at people that they don't really realize as they go through their lives, before they let go of fears, they have a tendency to attract people in their lives because of their fears. So there's friends and family and that kind of stuff.
Well, of course, you know, on the other side of a fear is love, when you let that fear go.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that's
in the Bible as well, so, you know.
It's also a confirmation for people when you sort of look at a situation, like I said before, stop asking why and say, okay, this thing ended and this is what happened. And if you can actually be honest with yourself, that's exactly what happened. And that person does feel the way you think she does or he does. When you sit here and look at those things, it's definitely a realization. It says you don't need to get it from the source. You know for a fact it's going to go on. And that's how you manifest it coming back.
I stopped asking why, and now I want to know when.
Right. Well, you know, I was working on a random one night, and somebody came in and she goes, what's my guy look like? What's the guy going to look like that I'm going to be with? I said, well, that's up to you. And she was like, what? I said, well, yeah, it's part of manifestation. But I said, what do you really want? And she goes, well, I want this kind of guy and this kind of life, and I want this relationship. I said, no.
Exactly.
I said, take it down. Take it very simple. What do you want? I said, I guarantee you, if I sit here and answer it for you, you'll agree with me, because you haven't been thinking about that, because you've been thinking too much on the other particles of trying to bring this together. You don't understand that there's only one thing that, what's the outcome you want? I want to be loved unconditionally, just like I give. And everybody wants to put, there's different words, like we sit here and say, positive and negative. There's only positive and negative, but there's a lot of words that describe that. It's the same thing with relationships. You know, there's a lot of things that describe the relationship, but one thing we want is to be loved unconditionally. Because if when we do that and we feel that, then we give unconditionally as well. So those are that's the common thing. Like I was saying before with this poem I just read. I mean, the bottom part here says, you know, all I want to do is hold you in my arms and marry you.
Right.
That's the thing. And if we sit here and focus, people say, well, don't you have to be more descriptive? Well, let's think about this. Sure. But I think that description should be something that's you and what you want. But I don't think it's something you have to focus on, because in the process of what's your description of marriage, if you already have that in your mind, in your subconscious mind, what you think marriage is, and you focus on just marrying a certain person in a situation, then the universe will definitely line up and give you exactly what you want, because you've already detailed it. And even the Bible, what you said about the Bible says God knows what's in your heart.
Right.
So therefore, when you follow your heart and say, okay, this is what I want, it's interpreted. God gets that. The angels get that. So therefore, it's easy to what? Manifest it. So we have so much, we concentrate and focus on everything so much that we don't realize there is a key. The key is to let go. When we let go, we take so much burden off our shoulders and off our heads and off our lives, and then we don't realize that. I had a lady the other day I was talking to, and I said, follow your heart. Always follow your heart. I guarantee you'll see the truth. You'll feel it. You'll know it. Because I said, realistically, seriously, if you sit there and follow your heart, what happens is the mind is eliminated, spiritually eliminated. So therefore, it knows. We've all heard, like I said before, we've all heard the saying, follow your heart, the head will follow. That's what it means.
Uh-huh.
It's the idea of the realization you're really looking for is not the realization about a person. It's a realization about yourself. Realizing, okay, that's what I want. And then to realize, if you know yourself, the more you know yourself, the more you take the time to know thyself, the more you're going to know the person you're supposed to be with. And then when you are together, you know why, and you know almost anything and everything that's going on with that person. I've always, the thing that really baffles me was when people call me and says, how does this guy feel? I really don't know. That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just it's not a problem with him, it's a problem with her. Because
mm-hmm.
she's not listening, she's not focusing, and she's not going through
mm-hmm.
her heart. She's thinking too much.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to sit there and look at the situation, people have asked the question, how do you know when you're thinking too much? When you keep saying, well, this is what I think I should do, that's when you're in your head. It's when you get down to the level of saying, this is what I feel I should do. I want to do what feels right. You're not
mm-hmm.
thinking anymore. You're focusing. I was telling people before, too, when we talk about relationships, if you're in a relationship and there's nothing, no red flags, it's just the speed. It's freaking you out because it's going so fast. To realize one thing, if you are living a relationship and following your heart and you're being spontaneous, everything falls into place very quickly. So therefore, it's going to be very quick.
Right.
Because if you think, but also, let's take it back one step and look at people. Isn't that what you want?
Exactly.
And then and then you get scared because what? It's happening just like I want it to. What?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, people, just go with the flow. I said, and people, I've heard people say this before, I'm going with the flow. Yeah, but you're still hanging on to the roots of the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You need to completely let go because you're right. You're thinking no one sees you hanging on to the roots
mm-hmm.
because it's below everybody's eye level. But, you know, who cares? That's the point. If you're still
mm-hmm.
hanging on to and you're scared of what people are thinking, do they see me doing this? See, you're still thinking what other people think.
See, what in all essence, what you're describing is that some people are just as scared as success as they are as failure. So when the relationship
mm-hmm.
is successful and the validity of the relationship is just taking it a light of its own, you know, it can be quite a rocket ride. And you're like holding on
mm-hmm.
for dear life, like, where in the world is this taking me? And like I said, you can follow each other without a word. You know, it's the coolest
mm-hmm.
thing. And it can be quite,
right.
you know, it can be. I was very scared, and my doctor told me it was unnecessary stresses. You know, I was so happy. It was sickening, you know,
yeah.
for real. I mean, I'm not making that up.
Well, it's like look at the situation and go, okay, doctor, you're right. It's stress, but what's causing the stress? It's called self-conflict within oneself.
We're trying
to figure out what, you know, so therefore, but it's amazing how doctors have a tendency to want to go to the physical ailment, which they can understand. But sometimes when it goes on to a more of a spiritual or other thing, they don't want to deal with that. And I don't understand why, because realistically, when you look at the idea of healing, doctor, it's like, give me an example. I'm a personal trainer. When you go to the gym, all you're doing is tearing your muscles down. It's when you leave the gym and what you do with your life that actually creates the growth that goes on in your life. So see, it's not the experience of all the things you're going through at that moment. It's the aftermath and the realizations you get that actually change your life. And it was like looking at this and going, okay, that's great. But doctors, for some reason, want to do that. They don't understand it. All they do is they go into you and cut you. And they do certain things.
With this particular doctor, I have to add, you know, he's very spiritual. I got lucky there at that point.
Well, that's good.
Maybe
I should rephrase it. You know, there are some doctors out there who are spiritual. I'm just saying, it's like when you look at the situation and go, who really does the healing part? I was sitting there talking about this the other day. I was like, I said, look at the Bible. There's a part in the Bible where there's a lady who actually cuts through the crowd, and she knows for a fact if she touches Jesus,
touches the cloth,
and she will be healed. And then, but if, mm-hmm. if you look at the aftermath of that
Rachel.
Happening, everybody thought that Jesus was going to get mad, and Jesus looks at the lady and said, "Okay, I know who you are. You touched me, and you got healed."
So everybody
said,
was touching
you.
Him, and she touched him, and he knew it, she touched him.
Yeah, because when she touched him, he looked at her afterwards and said, she goes, "Thank you for healing me." And he goes,
mm-hmm.
"I didn't heal you. Your faith healed you." She knew
mm-hmm.
beyond the shadow of a doubt that if
she
went
mm-hmm. right.
that she would be healed. So she believed it. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
If you can
exactly.
have that kind of belief.
Exactly.
If you have that kind of
exactly.
belief, you can have anything you want. And people say, see, the one thing I was sitting talking, we're talking about excuses. If you have a couple, let's say you have a lady sitting down and she's saying, "Well, this guy here has a lot of problems, a lot of issues." Well, I think that when you're in a situation like that, you're not really focusing on yourself and your own issues. And if you sit and look at the situation of a person that you are really connected with, that's your twin flame or whatever, there's a reflection going on that you're supposed to be paying attention to also work within yourself. That person that you're looking at who has the problems and issues, they'll deal with themselves. They'll deal. They'll heal. But with you,
mm-hmm.
you need to deal and heal too as well. So therefore, the
mm-hmm.
reflection is there for you, not to help him, but to help yourself. So therefore,
exactly.
go back within yourself and go, okay, what is it? What is it reflecting? Because I swear, we do have to sit back one day and go, what did I do to get that effect?
Exactly.
Which is every freaking day. You know, if you
mm-hmm.
sure, I was sitting there talking about the situation about a person I really want to be with, and it was really hard to sit there and look at the situation and realizing
right.
that maybe sometimes what keeps us from being back with that person is we're still hanging on to the past or memories we had with that person. Good
well,
bad.
I mean, he said to me one day, he said, "There was a time when I would have done anything for you, girl," and I'm thinking, I asked him, I said, "Well, when was that time?" Because I want to try to recapture that, bottle it, put it in a jar, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And try to recapture that and get that back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to probably.
Yeah, what you need to do is you need to be thankful and grateful for what you had and then tell yourself to
yeah.
be with him. I want to be with him to create more memories. Presently?
Yes.
Exactly.
And so I want to be with him. I
yeah.
want to be with this person in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, pick the twist of the fear off of it and say, okay, I want to be with that person. It's a done deal. It's going to happen right this minute, right this second. I do this too. I sit and say, okay, this is what I want. This is what I see. This is what I feel. So therefore, so be it, so it is.
Name it and claim it.
Yeah, so therefore, once it's done that way, then we need to sit there. Because I was telling a friend of mine, I said, the reason I brought this up is because in a situation of manifesting something that I did notice, I forgot all about. And it was kind of funny because I think it was some ways it could should have happened that way, but it was also a learning experience because I had focused on this thing. I bring in one of you, this was an ex-fiance of mine, which actually did come back together, and the point of actually focusing and writing everything down. And I said, I'm going to write everything down. So I wrote everything down. And I noticed after we got back together, I was reading it, and it was amazing all the things that happened in there I'd written down. And I was told a friend of mine, I was like, you know, we're sitting here talking about changing things in our lives and
mm-hmm.
changing the outcome and looking within ourselves and say, okay, this is what I like. This is who I am. This is who I love. This is how I feel. And putting all those things together, one picture, not just the ideal of focusing and visualizing it, but also feeling it. I feel it. Okay? And I sit there and I said, well,
right.
this is crazy. This thing. And I was reading this thing. And I noticed, you know, almost everything. But the one thing that got me the most was I've written the very first thing I really wrote because I was so angry at her because she just took
mm-hmm.
off and left without no word, without
mm-hmm.
no nothing. She just packed up everything and just left. So I wrote down my journal.
No closure.
Said,
mm-hmm.
Nothing. But I didn't write down closure. I just said, well, since she left, she needs to come back and pick me up and take me home with her.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I hesitated. And I said, I don't know, should I write that down? Isn't that kind of crazy? Because I know she, I said, I had this feeling too. I always tell people to follow your feelings too. Because don't sit there and listen to some psychics who say they can't read themselves. I feel like in the sense of the word, that's just bull. Well, I could really get blunt. But I was sitting there, but see, the point is, if you have been doing this for years and years and years and years, the one thing I noticed that if you read the Bible, it says follow your guidance. It also says the ideal of certain things, if you know the future and you still continue to keep doing the same thing over, that could actually be considered a
right.
sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then, So I sit here and said, so I was sitting here looking over this thing going, should I do this? Because I have this feeling I know where she's at. I know she just packed up and left and went to her mother. So I found out her mother was in Florida. And at the time, I was in Ohio, so that's 1,200 miles. So what I was trying to do was, I was trying to take this logical grab, you know, and throw it in the garbage and let go of it. And so I was not ready to write this down. And all of a sudden I stopped. And I said, should I write this down? Is that too much to ask for? And it was kind of great because my angels and guides came in and said, well, what do you want? I want her to come back and pick me up because she took off and left and take me home with her because that's what she should do. You know, she left me in a really bad situation. And I said, well, forget the situation. Uh-huh. Think, what do you want? Uh-huh. I said, well, that's what I want. So they said, well, write it down. So I wrote it down, and I forgot all about it. The thing I started focusing on was and the reason I like writing is because we can write things down, and then when we lose focus, we can go back and read it until we get that focus
exactly.
back. Exactly. So I sit there, and so I was going over the whole thing, right? And then every day I would sit there, and I would be working, and I would get these negative thoughts come through my head going, she's never going to call. She's never going to, you know, nothing's ever going to happen. And I have to go, no. I stopped right there, and I said, no, this is what's going to happen. She's going to call. We're going to talk. We're going to work things out, and we're going to be right back together, just like, you know, boom. And so every time I would sit there, and I would stop and do those things. Nope, you know, like a beyond a shadow of doubt, boom, this is what's going to happen. Nope. And it took a while. But, you know, we can't change people's perceptions on the whole thing. But
right.
I do think that process of asking for these things, we have to look at ourselves, too. And I knew for a fact that I was still kind of angry at her and still kind of resentful in some sense of the way. So there was still some negativity I needed to deal with the whole thing. And it wasn't until I just decided, just one day I got up and said, you know something? I'm tired of worrying because I just feel like I'm always tired all the time. So I sit there and said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take 15, 20 minutes in the morning. I'm going to still continue to write my journal. I'm going to continue to go over those things. But that's it. I'm going to let it go. And that's when she started calling, which I thought was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then
right.
So she started calling. I remember the first time she called, I was in the shower. It's like,
now there's a scripture in the Bible, too, that says if you let someone go with your mind, body, and spirit, they will come back to you. I can't find it, but really? There's also a poem that's written like that as well. So you were taking a shower. Sorry to interrupt. She called.
No, I was kind of crazy. Yeah, she calls me while I was in the shower. And I was like, I'm in the shower, and and I had my clothes, so I could hear the phone ringing. That was,
right.
I said, what? And I actually said that, too. I was like, I said, watch it be her. And sure enough, it was. It was one of those things, too. I was telling people that sometimes you can manifest in the things in the moment. And they go, what does that mean? I said, okay, like, I want to get it. I'm working for a couple companies right now. And what I do is when I do get a call, I will sit there and say, please, just all sit down, relax, and just sit back and don't worry about anything that has to do with money or any kind of pressures or success or stress. Just
right.
Let the conversation go. Let the conversation go.
Flow.
And let the information flow to where it's supposed to go. It wasn't sort of rhyme like that, but the point
right.
is when. But at the moment, I've done this before with that, where I sit there and go, okay, I want a 20-minute call. And I'll get a 20-minute call. And on Keen, sometimes it's kind of crazy. We have this chat thing now. And I actually have lady on the phone on chat for like an hour. And everybody's like, really? I don't get those. And it's kind of sometimes I always tell people, you really know you're doing something good with manifestations and stuff. Well, other people start asking you in the same kind of format or climate or same kind of company you're working for. I'm not getting that kind of results. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? I'm just sitting there waiting for calls. Or they'll sit there and say this. There's like 3,000 people in there. I'm never going to get a call. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye. Say goodbye.
Right. Right.
You're negative.
Exactly.
And they'll say, okay, really? That's phone, that's energy, and that kind of stuff. I said, I was working in Florida at a freaking job labor place. And we had these, it was kind of crazy too because there was a table of us, and I would take my books with me, and I would read my books the whole time I'm there waiting for them to give us a job. But see, I would also have my mind that I would sit there and watch the guy in my mind. I'd see who the guy was. I'd get a picture of him. And then I would sit there and take it, had a little movie of him calling me out and say, okay, we got a job for you.
Exactly.
But what was so funny about the whole thing was we were sitting there at this table, four or five of us. And we're all trying to focus because everybody said, what are you going to do? We're going out to work today. That's what we're going to do. I got to focus. We're going to make money today. We're going to go out. No problem. We had this guy named Joe. Joe is the most negative person in the world. He was sitting there going, it's like a week before Christmas. We're not going to get any jobs. And da, da, da. I said, Joe, do me a favor. And he goes, what's that? I said, go sit at the other table. This is the positive.
Yeah, good shut up.
That's a negative table. And you know something? This is funny, too, because as soon as he got up and walked over to the other table, the table I was sitting at, they sent us all out to work.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I said, Joe,
and that's so true.
I had to sit there and look at Joe and said, Joe, that's how it works. Have a good day.
You know, as servants of the Spirit, we have to uplift these people that are negative. And I don't know about you, but a lot of people that don't want to do the past life readings, some of the reasons why they do not want to do them is because they're mm-hmm. so draining from negative experiences. Because anybody that I have seen that is successful in this lifetime has obviously had the adverse effect in their past lives, like being mm-hmm. buried alive, you know what I mean? Things like horrible things. You know, that they had to work through to get to a better state of mind in this lifetime. But I think
we try to get
really cool.
It all, right?
Huh? Pardon?
We try to let them see the whole thing. Like, I'll take them back.
Yes.
You'll see what they'll say, okay, what are you wearing? What's going on? You're back there now.
Right.
And then we want to go to the middle, see what's up.
Uh-huh.
And then we want to go to your death. The reason people go, why would you want to do that? Well, the reason we want to go to your death is because right now, at this moment, you're living. So therefore, you've passed from that lifetime into another one, until you're here. It helps you understand that death is just a transition
right.
from one to the other. Not, it's over.
It's
and
a translation.
It
as most people call it, it's a translating from
mm-hmm.
You know, from one spiritual choice to another, supposedly. You know, so
mm-hmm.
when we do these past lives, I find that a lot of people who have these phobias, like they're scared of snakes or water or they can't swim or you know, like the girl that couldn't get on the elevator, these phobias, you know,
mm-hmm.
that I think that they had died, you know, in a past life, and they know what it's like to be snake bitten just by looking at that snake, you know. You know,
right.
They've been bitten and probably killed by a copperhead or a rattlesnake or something in their lifetime. That's just
mm-hmm.
you know, one example. Haven't you found that?
Oh yeah.
The kind of true.
I get a kick out of the whole thing when a person comes to a conclusion and realize that, you know, they've been hanging on to that and they made a conscious choice to do so.
Right. That's interesting.
And,
so here again, how do you let that go?
Mm-hmm. Well, we sit there and tell people not to make people feel like they're stupid or nothing. That's the idea of looking at the word,
right.
the phrase, let go. If you sit there, I was doing the show the other day, where I sit there and wrote down and said, okay, watch this. I'll put down let, and then I'll put go. But I put down go as all the O's going out into the universe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you sit there and so you take a phobia or something, if you... And do that as you pronounce it, say, okay, I let go of whatever it is, and then watch it go out to the universe. And then they'll come back to you and realize it was just nothing but an illusion. Because people always ask the
exactly.
question, too, what is an illusion? An illusion is basically what you've created because of the way you used to think. To look past the illusion means that you want the life that you've always seen and dreamed of. But now you're sitting, look at this thing, going, okay, who created this? Well, I hate to break the bad news to you, but you did.
Mm-hmm.
The way you used to think. But see, you've come to a point now where you're thinking to yourself, what can I do? Well, the point is, we had a show way back, almost 2 years ago, where it's just a simple show, change your thinking, change your life. And
mm-hmm.
it's actually one of the shows I've had that's had the most people go back in the archives and listen to, and I thought it was amazing.
There's a book out that says that. Is that yours?
No, I wish it was.
Yeah, there's a book out called Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life.
Yeah, so I saw a bunch of these books, too, and stuff like that, but what I do is I tell everybody, I got the books, but like I sit here and do, I like to sit here and take them and interpret them to everybody, because a lot of people take a look at the books and they go, well, it makes sense in the book, but I don't understand it in a practical way. Or just the way they, you know, it's like looking at people going, okay, if you made a conscious choice that you want to change your life, it's going to look nothing like your past. So therefore, if it looks,
mm-hmm.
if it doesn't look familiar to you, it makes perfect sense because you've made a declaration that you don't want that anymore. that you want the life that you feel like you've always meant to have, and you want to be with the person you thought you should always be with. So therefore, when it comes to your life, it's not going to look like Hank you used to be with. It's going to be something totally different. But I guarantee you, a lot of people who have a tendency to find their true soulmates, or twin flames as I like to call them, is usually because they've gotten past the physical sense and opened themselves up. See, when we say follow your heart, it's like a heart connection. But that's where
right.
twin flames are connected. And when
follow
you sit
your
and
heart
look at the situation.
Yeah, follow your heart and
the
your mind. And
the essence.
And you have
is
this incredible out-of-the-body experience with that person.
Well, that's what Senator said this one day. Senator said, okay, this is how it works. When you meet each other and this is the significant other you're looking for, it's a spiritual connection first. It's one of those heart connections. And then after you get past that initial connection and you start creating a relationship, then the physical comes in because you want what? You want to express it. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on, what a lot of people don't realize is, I was saying this before. I was talking to a friend of mine. I said it's like alcoholics and drug addicts. See, when they start drinking, and they start taking drugs, they stop maturing. So you sort of look at a person who's drunk who acts like a 13-year-old. More than likely, that's when they started drinking and abusing alcohol was when they were 13. So they do have the mentality of a 13, because they stop maturing. And I've noticed this with relationships as well. When you have a relationship where sex is first, people have a tendency not to mature past that point. That's why the relationship doesn't grow. It doesn't get any stronger because people say, well, I'm content with this. And that's another thing that can actually be working against you is the idea of being content. When I'm with somebody, it's a constant wanting to do things, to share, to experience. And if you got to the point where you're content with each other, then you stop somewhere along the line of experiencing.
Haven't you noticed, though, that that's what most couples strive for? They want to be comfortable and content. They want to get off this roller coaster of life and find that significant other so you could be more at peace and happier and a little more comfortable, and you don't have to like put on the Ritz all the time and yada yada yada, you know. And then once you get to that comfort zone, guess what? The whole relationship starts falling apart.
Yeah,
you know.
I just say when people are actually, I mean, look at the roller coaster ride, right? When you get on a roller coaster and you still have a great time, you don't know what to experience, you don't know what to expect, and then all of a sudden all these things happen to you. But afterwards, do you ever hear people talk about the ride they just took? They're happy, they have smiles on their face, and they're content. And they're looking for the next adventure. See, we call it, that's why I sit here and say, I was telling a friend of mine, I said, this is why I came up with the name of Psychic X Journeyman. I was trying to tell my brother the other day, too. It was kind of funny, I'm a psychic. The X can actually be a symbol of eternity, as in infinite, and it being something that goes on forever, as an infinite.
Mm-hmm.
There's no end to it. Then we have journeyman, which I think we're all on a journey in itself.
We're constantly on a journey.
Yeah, so I talked to my brother the other day, and he said, "Do you ever notice when they put when they say Christmas, they put Xmas? Do you realize that in the Bible, X actually means Christ?"
Yeah,
oh,
I think that's why they do that.
Yeah, but see, no one knows that. Everybody's thinking, oh, look, they're commercializing the whole thing.
We know we're all going to expire. That's a given. So we have to take the journey. Because we already know what our destination's going to really be.
Exactly. So we already know that, so we should enjoy the go-between to get there from point A to point B. And enjoy. Well, I say it's like getting from A to C. Enjoy B. Be where you. Well, the thing I say the most is, I've heard this said a lot too, where it says, be where you're at. If you're at work, be at work. If you're at home, be at home. Don't be like, if you're at work, you're thinking of home. Because all you're doing is working against yourself. Because you're not really focusing on the moment. The moment is you're at work or wherever you're at. If you don't like work, you can change that moment.
That's
right. What you want to do. I want to have a business of my own. I said, then do that. And the first thing I hear when I sit here and tell somebody that you should start your own business, well, how about the money? I say, why don't you do me a favor? What do you want? You want to have a business of your own? Yes. Okay, you've made that decision. You want to have a business of your own. Then really be honest with yourself and say, that's what I want. Now I want you to sit here and I actually read this, and I've studied these a lot, and I've looked through these things to give people answers and say, okay. In the process of focusing on, you're sitting there going, what is my life purpose? Now, when you sit here and look at the situation, the most people are really content who really are out there helping people have a service they're giving. So first of all, we know it's a service.
You need your service. Mm-hmm.
Right. So then we take it to the next step and say, okay, what you need to do is you need to sit down and focus on what you love to do, and then to get your pad and pencil and start writing down ideals on how you can turn that into a business. And I guarantee you, when you start sitting down and start writing, don't be surprised of all this stuff starts flowing out of you. And the next thing you know, it's like a eureka moment. It says, I can do this. And then you just found your life purpose. But it's a self-realization of finding what you feel like you're destined to do. But in the process of doing that, you found out who you were too and what you really are willing to give. In the process of, are you a loving person? And you found out right then and there you are, because here I'm doing what I love to do. And I always say, if you're really putting yourself in what you really love to do, all you're going to do is benefit people, because you're giving.
Right.
You already love what you do. In the process of doing that.
Right.
Go ahead,
right. When you're a giver, everybody wins.
Well, yeah. Also, I wanted to sit here. We've sit here talking about this too, about manifestations. And the true sense of a manifestation is to know that it's really what it is. Is that both people win? It's a win-win situation. I was sitting there talking to a friend. I was like, for example, I was sitting there. I was at a bus stop one time. I was living in Colorado, and I said, you know something? I said, God, it might sound like I'm lazy or impatient or whatever, but I said, you know something? They always say, you know, basically, ask for what you want, and I want to go home. I don't want to sit here anymore. I don't want to wait for this bus. I said, if you can
just
have somebody come by in 5 minutes. Yeah, if someone, yeah. I just sit here and said, hey, if someone can come by in 5 minutes. Yeah, it could either be a person I know, it could be someone who knows what I do, and maybe it's another new client. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just
right,
5 minutes.
Exactly.
Well, I'm open to whatever. And I went from that point to going to the anticipation of saying, okay, my ride should be showing up any minute now. And then once I did that, sure enough, 5 minutes later, this lady pulled up and she goes, hey, I haven't seen you in a month. What's up? And then it was actually an old client of mine. And she
That's
basically what happened
cool.
was but she knew what I did. I needed a ride home, and she needed some answers. So see how people
That was too cool.
Both people went.
That was
so
great.
Yeah, so both people went in the situation.
Did you ever get with your girlfriend in Florida that left you when you were in Ohio?
It was one of those things. We did reunite, but in the process of reuniting, it was one of those things we could sit there and put things together, and some people have a really bad habit of throwing a wrench into everything, and they always will. And that's one of the things we have to realize in some situations of being able to manifest everything we want, we can. But sometimes we have to have people who are also on the same page as we are. And prove a point, I always felt like that was one of those things that was supposed to happen because of the way we used to manifest things. And then my friend came and called me one day, and she's like, what are you talking about? She said, take a look at the situation. I said, what? She goes, take a look at the situation. She said, look at what you've done. And she goes, I did say what you've done. Because it seemed like she's just through the ride. And I was like, what do you mean? She goes, look at that. You went clear to Florida, and all she had to do was drive 15 miles. But who really paid it for everything? Who did this and then the other? Who was the idea of focusing on the things that you really wanted? But actually, in the process, because she came to me and she said, we got back together, and she wanted to basically move into a trailer. And I said, no. I cannot live in a trailer. Those things are just too confining. So I said, and I would already, before we got back together, I'd already been focusing on between the 4 and a 5-bedroom house and a 2-bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, really? I said, yeah. I said, one day we were sitting there going over some things, and she was like, well, you know, we got the money, but you just got down here, so you got to reestablish your business. I just started a job 2 days ago. I said, well, all we need to do is find somebody who's patient and understanding and who just wants to take our money, and we'll give us the money, which will give us a month to get on our feet. And she goes, what do you mean? Can we really do that? And I said, we can do anything we want.
Mm-hmm.
I started focusing on the whole thing, and then one day we were out driving around trying to find a haunted house because we were intrigued by this haunted house. It was basically somebody had been murdered in the house. And she was giving decorating tips to the lady who lived there now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I've got to find this house. I was just really dead bent on finding this house. So we went down this street in Gulfport, Florida. And I just happened to catch, out of the corner of my eye, I caught this freaking, for rent sign. I didn't know it was a rent sign. I just caught a sign at the corner of my eye, and I told her to stop, turn around.
There's a lot of Victorian homes down there.
Oh, this is a big house. She goes, do you think we can actually get this house? Yes, I do. You're not going to get me to quit question anything. I said, we're going to do this. So I got the number. We called the guy. 2 days later, we went down and looked at it. And I talked to the guy myself. He was Ukrainian, so it was kind of hard to communicate with this guy. I had to communicate with through his son because he didn't speak English really at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we did the whole thing, and I was trying to get the guy down on price. And I was like, how come? I said, I know I can do this. They keep telling me to do this, and nothing's working. And I said, what's going on? And they go, well, he's hard-headed. But don't worry, something's going to happen.
Yeah, Ukrainians are pretty tough.
Yeah, because I sat there and said, well, the place needs to be cleaned. Yeah, I said, the place needs to be cleaned up. The refrigerator's nasty. There's this and this and that everywhere. And he's like, the guy looks at me and he goes, you take a piece of paper, throw it over top, be good. I was like,
mm-hmm.
Okay, I see I'm really getting somewhere on this one, right? But 2 days later, we met to sign the leases and paying the money, right? Well, my guys and angels came to me and said, don't take the $2,300. Just take $1,850. Like I do most, you know, I'll send you not all the time, but 90% of the time. I said, okay, no problem.
Right.
I followed it. I was following it to the letter then because there's so much stuff that was going on. It was positive. You know, to find a four-bedroom, two-bath house and someone just says, just move in. Because the guy actually took his for rent sign that day. We talked to him the first day. He took him to in the garage. We already had it. I was like, man, this is really working good. So I said, okay, $1,850, no problem. So we took $1,850. I get down there. I'm talking to the guy, and he's still not budging on his price. I said, okay, no problem. He says, you owe us $2,300. And plus, he also hit us with an animal deposit, which they didn't save the first time. But I said, no, no big deal. We're still only going to pay $1,850. And she's like, you sure about that? I said, yeah, I'm positive. So we started talking about, we wanted to redo the kitchen floor. I wanted to paint the house because it was a nasty-looking green. I wanted to paint her daughter's room again. I wanted to paint that room. I wanted to redo the electric work. I wanted just and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, the old man comes back and goes, he starts talking to his son. I'm like, what's he talking about? And the guy comes to me and says, you know the $300 you owe us since you only gave us $1,850? My dad says, if you're going to do all that work, you owe me nothing. And I was like, bingo.
Wow. that's awesome.
And my friend was like, and your fiance threw a wrench into this for what reason? I was like, well, you know, it's one of those things that there's, you know, in the process of this whole situation. Of also,
so y'all never got married?
No.
You got this house and remodeled it and spent all this time and all this synergy together.
But she was quick because we sit there and, yeah, I got back together, and it didn't last no longer than a month. She did some positive things. She exed her mother out of the situation. We actually went to, we saw this place. I used to take her to the doctor. She had back problems. We went by this one place. It was a metaphysical shop. It had a big dragonfly, a big purple dragonfly on the
mm-hmm.
tarp on
mm-hmm.
the outside. You know, goes over your window. And
right.
We were sitting there going over the whole thing, and I took her to the doctor one day, and I came back there and talked to that lady who was in that shop. And
right.
It was kind of funny, too. I found out in St. Peter's, Florida, you cannot operate as a psychic unless you have a license, which means it's what it is. It's
really?
Like, it looks like a little driver's license. And I said,
how
you know
you
something?
Get a psychic? I've never heard of that before, and I go to Florida a lot.
Basically, what it is.
Is it just a business license?
No.
Is that what
no.
you're saying?
She had a business license, but she also had to have a license. What it is you go to the motor vehicles and you say you want to practice psychic work and that kind of stuff. You open a shop, and what they do is you got to pay $45 for a background check. And what they do is they give you, it looks like a driver's license. They give you this little thing that you give the people in order to be able to work in St. Petersburg as a psychic. And I was sitting there going, really? I said, does that really count for everybody? Say you work out of your home. Because the lady I was talking to, she had her own shop, so it wasn't her home. It was her shop.
Mm.
It was separate from her home. So I wonder if it would be different. But the thing went like this. I was sitting there going, the other thing I didn't like about it either is because St. Petersburg basically tags you as a fortune teller. And I tell everybody, I'm not
right.
a fortune teller.
Right.
I'm a spiritual advisor. I'm a psychic medium. And
mm-hmm.
that's a fortune, to me, a fortune teller is Mrs. Gypsy in the corner who works for a carnival who's just making money. Some of them are
right.
good, but a lot of them are the way they are financially is because they focus much too much on the money instead of focusing on their gifts. That's my personal opinion, of course. So therefore, if you don't like it, that's your opinion. But
I
saw the dragonfly, and my ex-fiance, she had an animal totem as a dragonfly, and she had a thing about
mm-hmm.
dragonflies. So I told her when we got back
mm-hmm.
together that we should go there. And I left it alone. Didn't say anything else about it. Like you said before, when you want to manifest something, because I mean, seriously, when I got back with this girl, I don't understand sometimes in the situation why things went the way they did. But all I could sit there and say was it was also a person who just didn't want it. It was too real. It was too much love, too much caring to a point where a person had been, in some sense, a little damaged to extent that there was a lot of healing that could be done there before she could actually have any kind of relationship with anybody. And this is a pure example of what we were talking about before, but friends and family, how they can keep you from what you want if you allow them to. Because nothing, seriously, no one can do nothing. No one or no thing can do anything to you in this life unless you allow it to. And a lot of people are going to go, you know, how about kids and this kind of stuff? I got examples of those too. So, you know, if you want to come to me and say those things, I've talked to so many people that were sexually abused as a child, that they've actually sat there and flat out said that guidance came to them at the time those things happened that told them to get away from those situations. But from what they were told by the human aspect, it told them about certain things and not being rude to your adults and to the older people and that kind of stuff, and they didn't do that.
Right.
So we got the situation. It wasn't the spiritual thing that got them in trouble. Not listening to it was the idea of not listening to the guidance. But the reason they didn't listen to the guidance is because of what the
not
world
being
said.
Not being obedient.
The world said. Yeah. So I sit there and what we did with the situation was it was a pure example of that right here, because there was so much things that were going on, so many manifestations. I mean, this house was hardwood floors, just like I wanted. Most places anymore have carpet. This place had hardwood floors because when I do this kind of work, and I work at my desk, I like to have my feet on wood floor to ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like everything else worked that way. Good. And I was like, okay, great. This place had also sliding glass doors, windows, but they slid sideways. They didn't slide up. And what was so funny about it, when you think about the manifestation, of course you're going to get a house like that. I said, yeah, but the house wasn't like that before I got down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they changed everything. It was like before we went to get the guy told me like maybe a couple of months before we had to actually contact him. He had switched all those windows out. They used to be windows that used to go up. So see, in the process of your manifestation, we're saying things do happen when they're supposed to happen in divine timing. And usually, a divine timing could actually be everything's falling into place, like the windows. It wasn't the windows I wanted. So the universe is basically like. Up, and next thing you know, these people come in and replace the windows, and they are the windows exactly where they were. And the one I was saying before about being baffled, this woman, me and her went to a psychic, that lady with the animal totem, lady had an animal totem dragonfly. Great connection, right? And then she sat down with this lady. The lady told her, she goes, your friends and your family are your problem because you're allowing them. You think that you have to hang on to everybody. You don't realize in the process of friends and family, the guy that you're engaged to right now is your friend and your family. And you're putting him second in favor of your friends and family. So it's a contradiction. Why are you not listening to yourself? And she goes, well, he's moody. She said I was moody. She goes, don't you realize that when these people are subjecting things to you, he's connected to you. He's going to feel it. He may express it in different ways. But he's going through the same thing you're going through, and you don't understand it. You think you're still alone. And we went through all these. This is a powerful reading where she said, she looked at the situation and said, this man over here is actually thinking about doing things he shouldn't be doing because he knows what you want. And he's giving up almost everything to help you, to give you, make you feel secure. But you don't understand. If you let him do the spiritual work like he's supposed to, you will get everything you want.
Mm-hmm.
See, the whole point of the situation is we have a tendency to predetermine. With our ego, it says, well, this is what I need. This is what I got to do. This is what I have to have. This is the person I want. Not realizing that once you let all those go and realize that God's always taking care of you, your angels are always there for you, everything's always happened the way it has, it always will, and it always happened when you let go of the whole thing, everything fell into place just like you wanted to, didn't it? But you're not.
Exactly.
And I said, this was a prime example of a person who just sat there and said, no, I don't want it. See, that's the thing about situations of free will. Free will is good, except for if you're like me on the other end of that whole thing going, what the heck? It happened so freaking quick, too, because it's like she took the advice. I remember when we came out of that psychic shop, she hugged me and kissed me like she'd never done before. So she was listening.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a tendency to look at the situation and go, okay, what happened? And so things were going good. Everything was great. We're getting ready for Thanksgiving and all kind of stuff. And we moved into this big old house. And you know, the first thing people started saying, we really don't have a lot of furniture. Yeah, but look all the space we got to find. So, so I looked at her and I said, I'm not worried about that. She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I was living in Colorado. I remember this. I read this book where it says focus. And if, you know, but spirit, you know, the angels and guides of God lead you in the right direction, and you can just follow that. So I did. I was in Colorado. I went to the Plasma Center because it was my way of giving back all the time. So I went there, and on the way back, my angels came to me and says, go into this shop. You need a table for your shop. This was my second shop, so I need a little table. And I said, I'm going to put a twist on it, too. I want a table for my shop, but I want it for free. And people thought I was crazy, right? So I go into this really expensive furniture shop. And I walk in, and I'm like, they got these little coffee tables, like $200. I'm sitting there going, I said, angels, I know you brought me in here for a reason, but you know for a fact it's on my budget. Because I said I want it for free. A lady comes up, and she's like, can I help you? I said, yeah. Can you take me back? I said, is there any other tables in here? She goes, yeah, we got some tables in the back. So we go in the back. They're still like $125, right? I just happened to glance over to the corner, and I said, well, how about those tables in the corner? She goes, oh, those are free. We're trying to get rid of those. So you say, so I was like, it was another word I used again, right? Bingo. And so I walk out of there. I could have walked out of there with three tables, not just one, but three.
Right,
and
when
I got the table back to the shop, it fit perfectly. And then I had a lady who, the lady I used to work for in a hotel, she was giving away chairs and lamps and stuff. They were remodeling all the rooms. I got me two chairs, actually three chairs for my shop. And then I got this shop. People who probably would have walked away from it. But it was one of those things where you don't listen. I wasn't listening to my guidance. I seen this aqua blue door. I mean, it was standing out like a freaking nightlight. And I would walk by it all the time because I just left my other shop because I couldn't trust my partner, so I just left. And people thought I was crazy. I said, no, I'm not crazy. I said, it's one of those things of when you sit there and look at the shop and you think about all the money you're making. I wasn't there to, I said, I was there to make money, make a living, but I was also there for another reason. And if I couldn't trust the person I was working with, that distraction was actually taken away. So I had to find, it's one of those things where you go, okay, I'm tired of working with a partner.
Black
I don't trust
energy.
Him. And then my guides and angels, my guides and angels came to me and said the same thing.
Yeah,
that why are you looking for another partner? You don't want to work with them. You want to do it on your own. This is what you want to do, right? So what do you need? Because I was thinking about this. I want three people to work with. I want this big shop. And, you know, it's like looking this and this and that. They came and simplified it for me and said, what do you want to do? I said, I just want to sit down and do readings and help people. They go, what do you need? A big old shop and three or four people to work with. And all of a sudden that freaking aqua blue door got even brighter. And I walked up to this door, and I was like, okay, it says for rent, but I don't see a phone number. So it was right next to a T-shirt shop. They were actually both the same. So I walk in there, and the guy goes, so did you come? The guy kind of looked at me and said, I was like, it was so quick, because I sit there and said, I saw that sign that says for rent. He said, well, I'll be right back. I'll get you the phone number so you can call him. He never asked me if I wanted to rent or not. He just sit there and looked at me and said, I'll get the number for you. And that was another thing I was trying to tell you about manifestation. When I was on my own, I never worried about it. I don't think I've ever worried about anything. So I sit there and looked at the situation and said, okay, I heard people talking on the street saying that that place used to rent for $300 a month. And my angels came to me and said, again and clarified and said, okay, this is a prime example to sit down and focus on what you want. So what do you want to do? Personally, I don't think the place is worth, I don't think it's worth more than $150 a month. And they said, ask for that. So I got the phone number. I called the people up. I said, I want to pay $150 a month. I'm going to run a psychic shop in there, you know, and do my little thing and remodel and whatever. And I told her exactly, because it came to me and says, tell her what you want to do. So I did. You know, she called me back later, and my husband agreed to everything except for one thing. I said, oh, what's that? He just wants a $50 deposit. Right?
I guess you realize that your handyman skills have been working out really, manifesting really well for you as well.
Oh, that was a great, no, seriously, that was great, man, because I just relate to this situation.
Well, I will have to tell you this. When I was married, I've never seen anyone like my ex-husband manifest so much business in my life. I've never seen anyone like it in my life.
How do you do it? I want to do it.
I don't know. I will tell you this though, it would be like I would have an idea. I'm in the music industry. I grew up in it. I know a lot of celebrities. I do readings as well and all that stuff too. We would have an idea. I would have an idea to do something, write a song, or or take it somewhere or go to the mayor, go to the president. I'm not kidding you. I mean, on very high levels of the platform, and he would just talk. I don't know how he would do it. I've never been with anybody that was like that. He would take crap and turn it into gold. I mean, it was amazing. I was with him. He was not a millionaire. Before we divorced, he was multi-millionaire, you know. But what I noticed, we had a lot of rental properties, a lot of properties, period. He was kind of like you. He saw there was a big high-rise tower in Nashville. You know, it had like, 80-something floors. I don't know, some big tall building. And his cousin was a realtor, and we were going to buy that. I said, what? How can we do that? He goes, we just start. We didn't have the money. But he somehow, I don't know, just acquired all this real estate. And I don't know how in the world he did it. And he did it, like, under the radar. Because I would walk into an apartment complex and look for directions, and I'd introduce myself because I do a lot of charity work, you know, and people know me for my charity work with my music. And they go, oh, y'all just bought this building. And I went, huh? Yeah, you're our new boss. And I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. And he never told me everything that he was doing. I never saw anything like it in my life. But we got more stuff done. But I also do know that after we divorced, it all started crumbling too, you know. So anyway, he was very powerful. He is a criminal defense attorney, but he was very spiritual. He was not the average attorney. Most attorneys that I know can't do it. What he does. And, he just totally stimulated my brain. I mean, I wished I could tell you. I wish that if I didn't focus on my dream interpretation classes and my venue that I had or my writing and stuff like that, I think I would have paid more attention to what he was manifesting and doing. Because he was totally amazing. I mean, people would just literally, like, scratch their head. And he would literally, he was just a thinker, you know, and he would just literally just constantly think and research and it would be like he would just talk it into the universe, and dang, it was like poof, it would happen, you know. Well, he'd say, "I want this," and poof, it was there, you know.
Yeah, I was actually reading that insert in my freaking book. I was in my journal. I was written some things down. It caught my eye when I was sitting looking at this thing where I was talking about we can literally speak things into existence if we believe in what we're saying. And I was like, I wrote it down. When I wrote it down, I said, yes, I believe, and I'm going to do it now. So, you know, it's one of those things of taking a thing. I tell people all the time, I've done this for so long, but there are times that we have a tendency to get caught up in the world and get away from what we know we should be doing. And then we have to get back there. We have to get back on the path. Or just the ideal, just resume to the path that we know we're supposed to be on in the first place. Because it was like I was telling a friend of mine, I said, do we really stop going forward? Because every day still seems to be clocking away. So we're still moving forward. It's just the ideal of letting go of baggage and cords so we can get back on the right speed. And it's like trying to make a freaking lane change and you don't speed it fast enough, you just can't do it. But once you get that right kind of speed, you go around.
One of the things that I noticed that he was very adaptable to, and that was changes all the time. Things were always constantly changing. When I met him, I had an audition. I was about to go on the road with Patti LaBelle. I knew her schedule was very rigorous. I had the itinerary. As an entertainer, you never see home. Your hotel room and your bus and everything is your home. And
I used to be a singer for like 15 years. I used to put bands together. Managed to
Well, then you know.
And it was just, yeah, it was just one of those things of the ideal of being a manager for a rock and roll band is like, it's like a juggling act to try to get five guys to go in the same direction, I'm telling you.
Oh, Florida is actually a good place to do that. I don't know, you know. But when I met my husband, he, you know, wanted to get married to me. Everything happened very quickly. And I was writing, doing freelance work for Warner Brothers, you know, Warner Chappell Music in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want anybody to have a part of our music. We wanted to do our own album project and blah, 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 blah. So I worked with a lot of all my musicians are award-winning.
I was going to say, it's like you were talking about that one guy. It's not like you're talking about the guy that used to be married to Shania Twain.
Matt Lang.
Like same way. Yeah, he was just.
No, he was a big producer. Matt Lang was a huge producer. I think he produced AC/DC or somebody like that. I can't remember.
He produced a lot of people. Yeah.
My ex was not in the music industry. I was born into the music industry. My parents were in the music. My dad was pretty well known, and he was a producer and a promoter, and he worked, you know, for the Country of Academy Awards board of directors. I just kind of grew up in that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But my ex, he was just a country attorney, and he didn't really have anything when we met. And when we got together, we would just talk about our dreams. And like I said, it was almost like it was just magic.
Boom.
So I wrote a song about it called Crazy Kind of Magic. You know, it was just a crazy kind of magic because we just had this synergy that was pinging out of the universe. And that's why I want to be with him. I want to be back with him because I know in my heart, there's nothing else like it. I know, like in your poem, that person still loves me, you know. And
well, if you want that poem and write a song out of it, you're more than welcome to do so. But
I've got a song called Why, and I didn't demo that. Of course, you being a singer, you know what I'm talking about. That one didn't get demoed, but it coincides with your song Mad, your poem Mad.
And mad. Why am I mad?
I appreciate that offer, by the way. I really do. But I would like to interview you on my radio show.
Is that what you've been doing? You've been talking for so long like this, just so you could ask me to be on your show. That's
Pardon?
Cool. I mean, are you asking me to be on your show?
Yes, I would love for you to be on our radio show. Yes.
Okay. No problem. Just. I was going to say, give my manager, but I don't have one. It sounded good.
You're the manager.
just give me a call. We'll sit down.
We get a lot of requests for past life stuff, and there's not a lot of people that do that, you know. The few people I know that do it privately, you know. And then I know a slew of people that it comes to them like breathing air, and it's a gift of God, and they don't believe in, you know, they believe that if you follow this certain path, it just comes to you, kind of thing, you know. So,
I just want to tell everybody who's waiting in the queue to get on the show, just be patient with me. I said, well, definitely we're going to get to everybody, I promise. So, just be patient.
I'm so sorry to take up this.
No. I always say this from time to time because I get this notion that people are sitting there going, you know, I'll get on the show. So I sit and tell them, I said, all the time I take with everybody else that you're listening to, you should listen because life lessons don't always happen through your reading, but you will definitely get your answers. So therefore, if you're listening and not griping, I understand your point, but I'm just saying I give the time to everybody. And I'm going to get to each and every one of you guys. So just stay there, be patient. And we'll give you the same kind of time because I don't believe in quantity, you know, quantity of readings. I believe in quality. And the situation that we're talking about with her, if you really look at the situation of talking to Cheryl, I've not really been doing a reading with her per se with some of the things, but a lot of good things have come out about relationships and that kind of stuff. And when two people get together, it just seems to spark things like that where I think if a lot of people took the consideration of actually listening to what's going on, they won't ask questions because the answers come so easily. And I'm serious, so. But I promise everybody who's in the queue right now, we'll get to you. We always do. It's a running day. I don't know what to say. But anyway, but with the situation, it's amazing how things just flow. I like these shows because they just kind of take on a format of their own.
Yes,
but,
they do.
Yeah, I'd love to be on your show. I'd love to be on your show. Just give me a call. You can call me after the show if you'd like, and we can sit down at a time and work it all out. And also with the situation,
it will be after the first of the year. Can I contact you, like, through a website or something like that?
Whatever's convenient for you. Yeah, you can do that. You can go to the contact page and give me a call. You know, just contact me that way, and I'll get back with you.
I can't believe this. I had a million ink pens. Here's one.
So do I, but I can't hand you one. I still have a reach.
Because you can't give me a number over the phone, so let's see here.
Well, I can give you anything you want. See, I'm in business for myself. I work with clients and that kind of stuff, so.
Well, do you have a cell phone number then?
Yeah, I do. It's actually, that's the number we use right now because it's the only one I have. I don't believe in having a house phone just this moment because I really don't need one. Everything I
okay,
do, I work
could you give that to me again, please?
Sure. That number is 740.
Uh huh.
500.
Uh huh.
8863. And if everybody out there, if you're listening, give that number a call because right now we're having some great specials on freaking readings. You can get a 60-minute reading for $33.33. And I'm saying that's good until the end of the year. So either get one for yourself or get one for a friend. It is the holiday season. Yeah, I think to me personally, it's a gift that keeps giving. I hate to use that, I'm pretty sure someone else. But if you really look at the situation, at the process of investing in a reading in yourself, you are investing in yourself.
Yeah.
So therefore, it benefits you. I'm just a person to give you the messages, and I get benefit from the idea of financial whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get to pay my bills. But if you really look at the situation, it's all about you.
I have to encourage people that are listening. I'm a first-time caller. I do not know this gentleman. All I do know is that getting your past life reviewed could be the most refreshing, uplifting thing that you could do for yourself. I'm telling you through experiences. I took a trip to Egypt 1 year, went through the Temple of Phila, found out that I was certain people in the Second Dynasty of Egypt. Could not believe it, did not want to believe it. I finally embraced it, accepted it. All of a sudden, a whole new world opened up for me. That was unbelievable. You've got to do it. Give yourself a personal past life reading.
You're picking up. See, it was kind of funny. You started talking about Egypt, and when I first started talking to you, that was the very first thing that came to me with being in Egypt as being in, you know, several lifetimes in Egypt.
Yes,
I was actually getting flashed. I was getting a flash where I was like 4 or 5 and this and that and the other, where you could almost trace this woman back to the beginning of the Egyptian
exactly. Mm-hmm.
Civilization as actually being also a connection with you with Atlantis, where I feel like you're
mm-hmm.
one of the motivators
yeah.
that actually motivated the Egyptians to actually start doing what they're doing with their lives.
Right. I was not a goddess. I was an Egyptian I was Hathor. They called her the goddess of love, music, and beauty. She gathered all the people in the village to do music to entertain the pharaohs and the kings to entertain them. And she also looked over the cattle, and she would wear the mask of a cow, and she would wear the mask of a tiger, and at night she would prowl at night. And she would turn the Nile red with red blood of beer to get Sun Ra, God's enemies, drunk. And she would seduce them and behead them at night.
Whoa.
And and she had all these items. And it was almost like, you know, I thought, why have I never heard of this person before, you know. But I didn't learn of her till I went over on a trip to Egypt. And sailed the Nile and went to the Temple of Phila.
Makes sense.
And
right.
and I ventured off with my tour group, and I stood on her podium. It was like this lightning bolt just shot right through me. And all of a sudden, these guys, you know, these police officers with shotguns are chatting. I mean, like, get off the pole. I wasn't supposed to be standing there. And, you know, they were going to shoot me. And I'm thinking, wow. And I never had any fear whatsoever the whole time I was there. It was just awesome. And,
oh, yeah.
It was, and I didn't take any shots, no nothing. And my ex-boyfriend at the time was, he was Egyptian, and he was a doctor. And he got really mad at me because I wouldn't take any shots. And he got sick. I didn't. That's his hometown. He wound up getting sick, and I didn't. But it was a very, very, oh, God, very interesting trip. So I found out that's when the past life thing hit me, because I didn't, man, I've walked miles and miles and miles by myself, just down alleys and everywhere. I had no fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was wild. So it was like, you know, I didn't want to see any fluff. I wanted to grasp mm-hmm. it all in, and it was so cool. So anyway, past life, you know, getting to know your past lives, I'm telling you people, it will blow your mind. You will feel uplifted. The pieces of your life will make more sense, believe it or not. You will identify why you're feeling the certain ways that you're feeling. You know, once you find out certain origins, past life, I mean, I can't tell you that. I think it's very healthy myself. It really helps mm-hmm. get on a path where you need to be, you know. I really do. I would not have missed ever having an opportunity of being around people who shared their knowledge and experiences with me and help me with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to tell everybody too out there that, if you know, usually on Fridays and Saturdays we do nothing but readings. So therefore show up on those days and we'll do nothing but readings. But you know, when you sit here and have a topic, it just comes across a thing. Because I was sitting talking to her about past lives and that kind of stuff, and I actually met, in the process of being in my first shop when I was in Colorado, I met this woman. Can't remember her name at all. I'm not probably focused on it. I can remember it. I keep getting Elizabeth and Nicole. But this lady walked into my shop one night. I actually caught her making out with her boyfriend out the window next to my shop, because I was doing some readings and she was on the outside. And they got tired of waiting, uh-huh. so they started making out. It was our first date. That was kind of funny. But what was so wild about the whole situation was the lady came in. We did a reading, and me and her, I've never connected with anybody like this until I met this girl this last summer. But nothing compares to because the girl I met this summer was like I feel like she was a twin flame, a very strong connection where I just felt like you said before, it was one of those things where you look at the situation, you feel the connection like you've never been away from each other, even to the point where you question it, why are you not together?
Right.
And then you just go. But this girl here came to my shop, and we sat down and started reminiscing, not about this past life or this lifetime. We started reminiscing, not just the idea of, how will you put this? I wasn't doing a reading for her.
It was mental telepathy?
We just caught each other and started talking. Now, she just started going out. This was his first date with this guy that she was with. He was just sitting there, and me and her were talking like we were best friends.
Right.
We had been best friends for almost like 12 we kind of went over at least 11 lifetimes, but we just felt like it was one of those things. And it was like we sit there and look at each other, and we just started going to these places. And remember, it was like
cool.
The exact conversation went like this. I was sitting there and said, remember when we were in Egypt and used to do certain things? She was a priestess. she was a person who was very wealthy in her family, so she could get away with things she wanted to. And I was sitting there and said, do you remember when we was that lifetime? We were always best friends. We were always best friends. We never went any further than that. And she was a beautiful girl. And I said, to prove a point, I said, you were always trying to embarrass me by hardly wearing any clothes at all, which you know, Egyptians and Romans were really good at that in the first place, especially women, you know, and high power. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when they're high power, they hardly wore anything. And when they did, they used to dress up like, because they'd show off their riches. So they wore these real fancy clothes, but most of the time they would walk around naked. Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah,
she
you've
was
read the
person
Book of
who,
the Kings, right? In
I
the
don't
Bible?
No, but I've. Okay, gotcha.
Ooh.
No, but see,
read the Kings in the Bible. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta read it.
But I was sitting there, but we sit there and started talking about these things. And I looked at her one time and said, remember, we used to do this? Every time a guy would tick her off, and she'd be going out with a guy and stuff like that, and he'd break up with her, or she'd catch him with somebody else, she would always tell him, I have a little potion for you, because she'd wait till they got to another girlfriend, and have a woman, and she gives this little what they call those things, And it's a sexual enhancer. And so she was sitting there and tell these guys, this is a sexual
enhancer. You mean the Kama Sutra? So
These are little what? No, it's a sexual enhancer. What do they call that? Attract. For men, they want to use aphrodisiac. An aphrodisiac.
An aphrodisiac. Okay, I was going to say that.
She said this would be. She goes, this is an aphrodisiac. Take this before you have sex with this girl, and you'll have. You know, she'll be in love with you forever, and all that kind of stuff, right? What it was,
right.
It was actually poison. So she.
Oh, geez.
What it did was, she'd give them this poison. They always die with a smile on her face, and she would just die. The girl was so funny. Here's a person I met for the very first time, and then we're talking about this stuff, and she started laughing. And she goes, well, you know me. You pissed me off. And
right,
she would do those things. And the format of the position she had, no one thought anything of it, you know. And she would, I saw her in Rome. I saw her in Egypt. It was actually a lifetime I had where I actually know for a fact why I don't trust people, as in people stabbing me in the back. Because literally when I was in Egypt, I was I was actually one of the pharaoh's guards who actually got knifed in the back. And I described this knife to this one guy. I described this one knife. I said, this is a knife I saw, and the kind of stuff like that. And he says, you know, they don't really show a lot of those kind of knives, because they were only with the pharaoh. The pharaoh's guards had the certain descendants. We see them in movies, but those are not really the actual. There's other things that people who guard the pharaoh, personal items that they kept with themselves, or they would do certain things that we don't know about because they're personal items. And back in those days, a lot of things people made themselves. So there's, you know, you find
exactly.
Them, but you don't really have a lot of. So I was sitting there, so we did that kind of thing, and we just talked about all kinds of stuff, and to the point where I could prove it. I said, you always wanted me to see you as this woman, so you're always showing off your breast. And she goes, And then I looked at this, and it was like people around us, and I was like, she still does that. And I was like, okay. And she said she hates wearing clothes. Chasing back to a past life.
Right.
Well, you know, people. How did I know that? Because
right.
We were best friends for 11 lifetimes. But I was sitting there going over the whole thing going, I looked at her and she actually had a tattoo around her neck, right down where the chest is at. So when you look at that tattoo, you see her breast.
She had it around her neck and down to her dextae,
she has it
like
her neck,
a chest bone,
She has it around her neck now where the very first thing you look down, you're going, okay, there you go again. She goes, what do you mean? I said, you got that tattoo. Some people look at your chest. And she just, some people have questions. She just looked at the girl going, she's smiling from ear to ear. She knows what's up.
Right.
She was real nice. Like I said, I can't remember, but I said, I looked at her one day. I looked at her that same night. And I said, she was talking about her friend. I said, you know something? You should bring your friend in because I feel like that your friend is a very strong connection between me and you and too. And she goes, I wouldn't doubt it. Because what just happened? See, this is the thing, too. This is how it ended. This has just happened in like 2 hours of being in the shop. These people coming in at late. I was there until almost 1:30 in the morning because she went to the bar across the street and down the street and started pulling people in. She goes, you're good. And she goes, I'm going to go get you some friends and get you some people in there. She goes, I'm going to get it now. So she left, and I did a reading for her boyfriend. And she came back. She said, I have to go. She walked up to me, and she said, because every lifetime, I always sought you out to get you back on the path. I said, yeah, but you never listened. She goes, yeah, but it's great to see you. And
that's too cool.
She gave me a kiss on the cheek, and she says, as always, it's great to see you. And she left. I've never seen her again. But, you know, when you sit there and do and put yourself in a position, I always say, if you put yourself where, you know, this is your destiny, all these things will start happening. Right?
Yeah. When you tell me you never saw her again, it reminds me of that song, Take It Easy by the Eagles. I got seven humans on my mind.
Yeah. One, yeah, have to come back yet. This is me off.
Yeah. You're just such a free-loving spirit. So I can't imagine anyone who is spiritual who could not connect with you. Oh, it's such a pleasure.
Well, let's put it out there. Yeah, I was sitting there thinking about myself going, okay, the girls with this last summer, I don't know. You know, the only thing I can think of to do in that situation is just let go because, I mean, the last couple of conversations I had with her was basically a little toffee-turvy where she was flip-flopping back and forth, which kind of gave me which actually told me that the feelings that I know that she has were there because you don't get that kind of emotional back and forth.
Right.
The person wants to be your friend but doesn't want to be your friend, but also wants to. It's almost like I'm trying to please the world. You're only one person, and the world's so many, so I guess I'm going to please the world for a while, and then I'll get to you. But, you know, like you said before, when you feel that connection with somebody and you still feel it, it is kind of hard to deal with because the process of feeling someone like that, like you said before, you want to be with that person, and you want the person to be with you. And you knew for a fact that if everybody let go and let it happen, that's where you would all be. You would be together. You would be sitting on the same soil because she's in England. I'm here. But I've seen so many situations like this where, like my ex-fiance, I went from 1,200 miles to being 15 miles. And actually that little phrase I put in my journal about her coming get me and take me home, when I got to Florida, that's exactly what she did. She came and picked me up. I was staying with a friend. We got a hotel room when we got down there because I really didn't know what to do. So I called her. Next day she comes over and picks me up. She takes me home with her.
Cool.
And that's where I stayed. Cause I remember I had to talk to her a couple of times. I said, I need to go back to the hotel and get my stuff. And she said, I don't want to let you go. So, you know, sometimes when you get those kind of things going on, that's one thing I've always noticed. Like with the girl I was with, I'll just call her Katie, the one I was this summer. And then the other one, her name was Sandy. And when I sit there and looked at these two people, the one thing I saw the most was all this emotional back and forth kind of thing where you just feel like at that moment what they're trying to do is they're trying to please everybody. But the one person they're not pleasing is themselves.
Right.
And you just, it's like you want to tell people, this is the way life is. If you're not following your own guidance and following your heart, then the first person you're being disrespectful to is yourself. And therefore, could also explain a lot of chaos in your life. And the confusion part is you're too much in your head. You need to get energy back down to your heart. So therefore, you can see the truth. And the truth of loving somebody should never be something that's scared of. And if you are scared of it, maybe that should be the first fear you need to face. So
well, remember, like in 2 Timothy, it says, God says, I did not come to bring you the spirit of fear or confusion, but the spirit of love, passion, and of sound mind. You know,
exactly.
To know that he's a loving God. So you're right on target with all those things, you know, there. And
so we look at the thing called new age. No, how about old age?
Pardon?
It's been around forever. People sit there and say that when
exactly.
You start talking like that, they call it new age, and you're sitting there going, new age? It's in the Bible. It's about thousands of years old, so therefore we got something going on.
Yes.
Because we were sitting there going over the thing, too. It's like... sometimes we look at the situations. I was actually listening to something last night where I was talking about the secrets of attracting your soulmate, but it was talking about how you need to let go. And sometimes in the situation of letting go, we don't realize that sometimes we're hanging on to things because of positive memories. But we don't realize those memories are keeping us hanging on to a past that we need to let go of in favor of, because we say we want to be with these people, but we have to sit there and specify to the universe and say, well, I want to be with this person. I don't want to go back where we broke up. Because that's when we broke up. I want to be brought together. That's the idea. It says in the Bible, stand still, and everything you want, need, or desire will come to you. That's kind of like paraphrasing, but basically what it says is be still and hear the guidance.
Well, I mean, I've been praying a lot and stuff, and I've been getting for the past, believe it or not, 6 years, be still, be still, be still. And I'm thinking... but I'm not going anywhere, you know. What's going? But God's telling me, be still, you know. And so, I've talked to so many masters and ministers and pastors and psychics. Anywhere that I can get my answers from spirit, I have just been all over the map and then some. So you know.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So I've been pressing on and digging deep, you know.
I hear you. Well, I want to get to, I want to, what do I want to do? Yeah, that's the thing I've been looking to. I mean, me personally, I look at the situation of just letting go and whatever happens, happens, and say, okay, basically focusing on this being with your significant other and focusing on your divine soulmate, which is your divine birthright, to be with that person, to have those things and that kind of stuff, and the ideals. But by divine law, I want to be with the woman I'm supposed to be with, and I would like to have that happen now. So I was listening to this lady talk about last night, and she said, And it was very interesting because I was sitting there going over the whole thing. I thought, okay, I've heard from people, I've heard from several people I need to call this woman. I've also heard from other people, you know, call her. I've heard from my own guidance, don't call her. I said, okay,
right.
What do I do? Everybody's like, don't it. But I was sitting there
right.
listening to her when she said, well, this lady said, she said she was tired. She said she'd been doing this work for over 40 years and in the process of doing the whole thing. She said, well, how come I'm not in a relationship with my soulmate or my twin flame or whatever? Why am I not with somebody? I should be, because I teach this all the time to everybody else, you know? And people don't realize sometimes
yeah.
you get so caught up in the whole situation of other people's happiness, you have a tendency to forget your own. So it's like, okay, we go back to the point and go, okay, now I want somebody. I'm ready for love. I'm going to open up. She said the very first thing that came to her was she'd gone to her astrologer. She'd gone to the psychic. She'd gone to everybody. Everybody told her it wasn't time yet. It wasn't this
right.
She said, well, that's what I'm told. I've always been told I have dominion. So therefore, I have control over the whole situation and whatnot, kind of thing like that. Because I think in the process of focusing on what you want and the person you want to be with, I think the universe corrects everything, even to the point of actually if that person needs healing or whatever it is, that at this moment we should sit there and go, okay, just call in all the arsenal, you know, Archangel Raphael, Michael, everybody,
right.
to
mm-hmm.
the point of making this happen now. And she
calling
said the most
angels,
people have a problem.
Marine fire.
Yeah. And the thing came down to the secrets. The secrets were basically put out there saying, which I've done this a lot of times myself. I've told people that you need to clear the clutter. You have to be clear about what you want. You know, it's like look, well, and the understanding of sitting people down and saying, okay, what do you want? Some people are scared to get so detailed because they're scared they won't get it. So therefore, the more detailed they are, the more disappointment. They don't realize
you have
the opposite.
I'm telling you, you have to be detailed. I mean, really try to dot those I's and cross those T's are very important. Very.
Unless the girl you want to be with doesn't cross those things, then it's okay. But but you know, I'm just saying, like attracts like, right? And I was going to tell my friends and everybody else, the reason you have to follow your own guidance is because like attracts like. So therefore, you should know who the person you should be with because it's you. It's a reflection of you.
The reflection of you.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met this girl last summer, man. I looked at her and she looked at me. I'm like, why are you following me?
You see yourself.
Yeah, I was like, you're following me. You're sitting, you're doing this, you're doing this.
Exactly.
And sometimes in a situation, there might be some variations where you look at her and you see yourself. Maybe
exactly.
You see a past self, but I always feel like two people can come together and help the other one catch up, as in realization about oneself because of having influences around oneself who keeps telling them they're just not quite there. And there's people that you do have friends in your life who play on that because they don't want to be not a friend. And they need that. They feed
well,
off that.
Well, remember, too, the Bible speaks that if you aren't, you were talking about being obedient. If
mm-hmm.
you aren't obedient, you don't listen to what God is speaking to you, that he will allow your enemies to attack you and tear you down.
If you're not what?
If you're not obedient to what God speaks to you, if you don't listen to the voice of God, when he speaks to you, if you're not obedient, you know, listen
to what
he's...
The idea of putting in perspective, yeah, saying obedient. Obedient means the idea of knowing. Right?
Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right, yes, okay, exactly.
I'm saying God comes to you and said, okay, this is what you need to do. Or your angels, because there's also Psalms 91, it says God gives angels
In essence, the will of God, what God wants you to do in your life, and you know this is the path that he wants you to choose, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something else, you know.
Exactly. Because
I
was going to go with myself. I was sitting there talking about this girl I was with in the summertime. I can't even bring myself to even call her an ex, because I just don't see her as an ex. And I actually had a vision of her,
exactly.
too, that was so clear and so vivid, I could feel the warmth of her skin, the warmth of her body,
right.
It was embracing. And I was like, whoa, that's impressive. That's intense. And that's what I want right there. And then
right.
I noticed that she was also pregnant, and I was like, okay, I don't remember focusing on that. I had thought about it, but I also
mm-hmm.
told the angels and God and angels to also show me the whole picture. So
mm-hmm.
see, I didn't think about that, but then in the process of
right.
asking for the clear picture, I saw that. So therefore, the possibilities of seeing those things, I've always said, if you can see it and believe it, you'll be it. So therefore, it is. So when we sit here and look at the situation, I was sitting here going over the whole thing going, that's a eureka moment in itself to realize it in the process of wondering, okay, how come the friends and the exes always come out of the woodwork when you're in the process of focusing and you're in something else that you think is good? Because maybe in the process, you're doubting, maybe for a second, God's word of saying, this is a guy, this is a person, this is a great relationship, this is love, this is what's supposed to be. All of a sudden, you got exes and people coming to the woodwork saying, I don't know, because you don't know. And you attracted those people. But once you get your mind clear and say, no, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt this is the person I'm supposed to be with, and this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with, then you'll start noticing that these people more likely start calming down. But sometimes you do have, there are some rebels in the mix who don't want to be an ex-friend. And we know for a fact, and I've always said this over and over again, that when you're in a relationship, you do not sit there and throw someone away because your friends say so. You have to feel it, because I've seen so many people who sit there and don't like themselves anymore because they didn't listen and say, okay, I should have done this. Because I've seen her going over myself before. Should I call her or shouldn't I call her? And the one thing I started realizing when we sit and talk before, take it back to the beginning when we first met. When we first met, she made the moves. She made the advancements. So therefore, when she wanted something, she had no problem of making those decisions to do those things. So therefore,
so obviously that's something that you liked as well.
I like aggressive woman who comes and goes after what she wants. And that, when we first met, it was like meeting each other, talking, and then making the time, even to the point where she ran up a phone bill. But see, I didn't look at that.
That's really the old cowboy way, though.
Right, you want to hear people's voices.
Let the woman come on to you.
Yeah, because I was sitting there going over the whole thing and saying, she's been watching me for I don't know how long, but I sensed that whole thing and all the thing was going on.
Wow.
And I was, but you know, it was one of those things where she came. Well, I'm just saying, I was in Orlando working, and then she came in the chat room, and I said, we were sitting talking, and I said, I'd like to get to know you, but I can't give you any personal information. Well, I decided to anyway. I said, here's some hints. I'm psychic. On a random, they call me Psychic X Journey because the man wouldn't fit. So I sit there and put the thing out there and said, okay. I told her, I said, okay, sit on here, I'm called Psychic X Journey. If you put man on the end of it and you go to Blog Talk Radio, you should be able to find me. That's all I told her.
Mm-hmm.
I had an email in 20 minutes through Blog Talk Radio. And that's why I was like, okay, that, you know, to me, that's what I was asking. I remember looking at the list of things I wanted to happen. Was I wanted a woman to come. I wanted a woman that was so
aggressive.
When she decided, it was aggressive.
But knew what she wanted.
Also, she knew what she wanted, and she had no problem saying it. And she went after it, and she did. She, you know, emailed me. Then it was like, just go on Yahoo and talk to each other. So we went on Yahoo. Next thing, she goes, oh, do you have a webcam? Yes, I did. We started talking webcam and this kind of stuff, and everything was going great. But see, the thing was, it was progression. Every time she would suggest something, it's like, trust what you're saying, because I follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Or she would say something, and I would follow through. So see, it was being very spontaneous. And then we got this notion of people coming in and saying, this is not a real relationship, because you guys have not really met each other physically yet. And I said, yeah, we have. Not in the sense you're talking.
Yeah.
We met through Skype. We've been talking through Skype and Yahoo. We met through, you know, a chat line or a freaking psychic line. But I said, in the process of getting on Skype and started talking to each other, Yahoo or whatever was going on, there was a visual. And in the visual, I could see her. When I would say things to her, she would light up. I could see it. And that's what happens in relationships.
Cool.
The thing we got the most was, like I said before, was we were talking about the story, okay? We're talking about the story where it's like, we got two people here. She's real, I'm real. So whatever's happening, doesn't matter the device and how it's happening, but it is happening, and whatever's happening between those two people, since they're real, is real. Any kind of shape or form you want to look at. Even when people play games and that kind of stuff, there's still something really going on. Or they're getting something out of it, put that way. But I sort of looked at the situation and told everybody, you know, if you really look at this situation, really honestly, and look at the whole thing, where it falls into place and that kind of thing. This is how relationships happen, they should happen, where you meet each other and you really get to know each other before you go and do anything physically. Because in the process of doing anything kind of physically, it has a tendency, we don't really progress past that point of getting to know each other anymore because we think we have, because we've had an intimate emotion or an emotional moment, not realizing that that's a false mistake because there was a spiritual connection that went on between us. And I'm not saying there wasn't some things that you really couldn't say that happened between me and her. We had a real relationship. But what I thought was so funny about the whole thing was a good example. I thought it was the best example in the world. My friends were very supportive. They saw the positive in everything. But on her side of the whole thing, we have friends who don't. All they can keep seeing is the negative side of everything. And I was like, this is a great example of two people who see it. And one's going to basically have support, and he's going to go and let go and follow their heart. And then we have another person on the other end, and she didn't. And she even said that. She said, small words, she said, last time I talked to her, when he was talking on Yahoo, I said, this is what's going on. I said, this is how I feel. And it wasn't until I mentioned, I'm sorry if I followed my heart and told her, if you follow your heart, your mind, it spiritually illuminates your mind. So therefore, you just don't feel it, you see it. In the process of seeing it, you become it. And you realize that the idea of love will always point out the point of showing you the truth of everything and everyone. And it wasn't until I mentioned that point she got mad and got angry and started saying, ooh, I don't like it when you do those kind of things and talk about that. So
wow.
She got really angry. And I even made a compliment and said, hey, you are very gifted, very talented, and that kind of stuff. And she got mad again to the point where she wanted to leave. So you look at these things and you look at these situations and go, okay, what was going on? And if you've experienced this before or you didn't understand what was going on, this is a person who's thinking too much, who definitely feels the same way you feel, but at the same time, she's in her head thinking about all the things, all the possibilities, everything else, and thinking, this is normal, and this is not normal. What's normal is the idea of bringing that energy back down to your heart and understanding that you are in love with somebody, and this is the person that you've probably been waiting for your whole life, and why would everybody be talking you out of that? Because they don't want that kind of, that kind of, what do you call it, competition.
I'd like to know what's up with the people that are, and right now in our society, there's so many men and women who want to find love. And I don't know about you being in your position, but I'm sure probably 50% of your calls are about relationships.
Oh, try 98%.
Right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got people who call. We call.
Now,
yeah.
All right. And then you've got these experts now, like Barbara DeAngelis and, the guy from Mars and Venus, whatever, who have been married 5-6 times, right? People don't know this. But these people have been married 5-6 times themselves. Do you think they're giving them, advice on relationships? And I just find that there is such an outpour and such a cry for some in the world in general for men and women to unite and get rid of this anger and this jealousy. There's been such a spirit of jealousy. It's been so rampant in the past 20 years that I've seen.
Well, sometimes you look at some of the situation you're talking about, like the guy here. You know, I've actually listened to his stuff, and it makes sense. But I think it's one of those things that you've got to go deeper than, men are from Mars and women are from Venus. But also look at the situation. It's okay to focus on individuality, but at the same time, we should also focus on unity as well. Because, if we're talking about twin flames, for example, those are people that were actually of one energy at one time, one big powerful thing. I described it to somebody. I said, did you ever wonder what a Valentine's heart, what does it mean? And I said, it actually represents, I asked the same question, and my angel said that represents twin flames. And I said, really? I said, yeah, look at the heart. It's, when we make a heart, even when we make one, we start at the top, and we go from side to side. Okay, what it says is the twin flames are created right in the middle. And they said that, imagine this. Imagine God created an energy that was so bright and so powerful it couldn't be contained in one body. So therefore, he split it into two and put in a man and a woman. Okay, and then they have we have the heart, where it shows that's where the twin flames are created. And then they go out, the loops are going out into the universe and the world. And then they come back down at the end where they always end up. So it's giving you the journey of twin flames. But in the process of you looking at this energy, the energy is pulling it. It's always wanting to be one. So it's always pulling them together. And if people would trust that, then it would be no freaking all this chaos and stuff going on. And also the situation of clarifying things for people.
Mm-hmm.
We've been using the Bible quite a bit, too. But we sit here and say, look at the situation. In the beginning, it was a man and a woman. And we can all sit here and look at the situations of things that are going into the world, but also realize one thing with the world. A lot of people who are living in the world are living in a human way, not in a spiritual way. And there's a lot of people who are doing a lot of things that we don't agree with. And I don't really want to freaking even go over the whole thing of agreeing or not agreeing. I think we should teach their own. But, you know, if I sit there and say,
mm-hmm.
from what I've experienced and what I've seen in the process of even creating life, you know, we look at certain couples, which we're not going to mention anything by name, but certain couples who come together, they create life, which is the most powerful thing that God gave us to do. We can create life. But the only way we can create that life, and this is the truth, too. I don't care what anybody says, any kind of format or whatever happens in the situation of children being conceived, something happened at that moment for those things to happen. Both people are on the same page, same wavelength, when that child was conceived. So when you sort of look at the situation, you go, well, that race and that kind of stuff. It does
mm-hmm.
make you look at them differently in some sense or two, though, when you start looking at those things. See, as you sit here and look at the situation, what we're trying to focus on is the idea of creation of life. And here you are, you're looking at two individuals. One was abused and one was the abuser. What I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to focus on is the idea of creation. Something good always comes out of something bad.
I'm right.
Okay? So when you sit here and look at those two creations, that's the whole thing. But God gave us that. But in
right.
other relationships that we know about, you can't do that. They try, and they're doing it on a different level, but they can't do it themselves. The people who – so you look at the situations of blessings and those kind of things. I mean, just from observation, you see a lot of people – like I was sitting there telling this one guy, I was like, I don't go around bragging I'm a heterosexual. I don't, you know, so the idea of, you know, bragging I'm a homosexual, I
right.
think,
mm-hmm.
why do we need to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, in this kind of sense, why do people do what they got to do to prove a point? If it, you know, I've always been said, the more you try to convince me of something, the more I question it, the more I don't believe you. And
right.
And the hardships that come along with
it. The more
somebody
protests anything, yeah.
Well, it's what you said before, you know, the idea mm-hmm. of obedience and going along with God's word and the guidance that's coming to you.
Right.
You know, to see people going through burden and chaos and that kind of
yes.
stuff. Like I was saying, tell my friend, in the Bible, it says be abundant and prosperous. It
exactly.
doesn't say settle and suffer. So if you're a person who can't figure out why your life is the way it is, see, I had to look at your situation and going, okay, why is it like that? Well, in the process of creating it yourself, you created the chaos. But when you sit down and co-create with God and your angels and something, you seem to have a
mm-hmm.
more positive life than you do anything else. And it seems like
but
the people who don't believe in... Go ahead.
Right. I forgot which king it was, but he demanded that the queen, every time she made her presence known, even if she was having a bad day, if she was sick, she had to smile. If she frowned, they'd cut her head off.
And then she learned how to smile on her own. Anyway.
there was a time period that you had to put on this smile, you know, and look happy all the time because it was frowned upon if you looked literally frowned. People looked down on it if you looked unhappy or depressed or whatever.
Well, I was actually looking at people doing that thing too, where I was saying, okay, smile. But you know, in the process of the situation, maybe you should focus on the last time you did smile spontaneously, and you might be smiling again. So it's, you know, you don't
mm-hmm.
force the whole thing. But I've actually seen situations. I'm not saying I haven't done it myself, where we have a tendency to hide behind our smiles of what's really going on, to the point where we don't want anybody else to know, which is nobody else's business. But in the process of doing that and not really addressing the situation, we're also ignoring it. We're not just wanting people not to know. I don't think at that point we don't want to know. That's why we're ignoring it. Just smile. It's okay. When we could actually address it and realize we can
smile. Denial.
Well, I'm just saying, sometimes we can smile.
Smile, denial. Yeah.
And it's okay. Because it's the truth, you know. But it always has, I've always noticed that people who just smile, I don't think they're really in a good mood. the ones I always see that they're genuine and they're smiling, there's always a laugh with it. And that's something I was thinking about too. Okay, they're laughing, they're enjoying their life, so they're smiling, they're having a good time. And to be honest with you, I've actually seen situations I wasn't too happy with, but I could still find the humor in it. You know, like
I
was walking on some ice. I was in Maryland. I was walking on some ice, trying to be nice, you know, about the whole thing. And next thing I know, I saw my feet before I hit the ground. When I hit the ground, I was in a lot of pain. It hurt. It really hurt hard. But
ow.
I saw these two girls, and I started thinking of what they just saw and how funny that would be if I saw the same thing. So I could find the humor in it because it was funny. It's just because it was happening to me at that moment, I really couldn't see the humor of it. But when I saw it through their eyes, and I started laughing. And they're like, what are you laughing about? I said, well, that was kind of funny if you really think about it, because I knew it was going to happen. Why'd I walk down the freaking ice in the first place? I knew it was going to happen. Boom.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, you know, you look at the situation going, okay, well, if I knew that, people out there suing people, they knew it too, and they made a conscious decision to walk down someone's stupid icy sidewalk. So should we really blame somebody? Think about this seriously. Someone didn't show up their side. Why? Because it's freaking cold out. You know?
Right.
And here I am walking up this stupid sidewalk, knowing there's ice everywhere and that kind of stuff. Isn't it really my fault? Because I'm aware of it. I'm walking up it right at that moment. I'm aware of it. So the idea of suing people, isn't that like you're still in denial of blaming everybody else for your decisions?
Right.
Because
yes.
Was there somebody in your head that moment as a substitute making decisions for you at that moment? No, there wasn't. It was you and only. Now, are we going to sit there and condone a person for not showing their sidewalk? Yeah. Should they pay millions for it because they didn't do that? No. I think you should sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, just address the situation from a different point of view and say, okay, is it right for the medical field to basically charge the rates they are and to watch people lose everything? That's the problem.
It is a problem.
So we have a tendency to take it the next step and think, if we had all this money to pay those bills, not realizing maybe it's the problem was the bills being created in the first place. Not too long ago. I was in the emergency room I was on the hyperextension machine, if you know what those are, where you're actually facing down. It's like a reverse setup. And where your body's actually extended from off the bench. Your waist goes across these pads, and you're basically working the muscles in your back. Well, in the process of this whole thing, you have a little pad that you put your feet under to keep you where you won't fly off this thing. Well, that thing broke, and I went flying to the point where my face was smashing into the bottom of this thing. I actually broke my nose and cracked the bone across my face. Well, I went to the hospital. Do you know they wanted to charge me? They wanted to charge me about $500 for a 10-minute trip. And then the hospital, for a 4-hour visit, wanted to charge
me
$5,500.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there going, I said, you know, some guys, I know you got some really high-tech machinery in there, but haven't you paid it off yet? Is it really justifiable to keep charging the same rates over and over again?
Right.
It's like a guy selling you a car, but there's no limit. He just keeps charging you every freaking year
for
the same freaking car. And I was sitting there going over the whole thing going, I think we're addressing these things a different way. Everybody should stop suing and start looking at the situation and what's really the problem. Because most of the time when we get ourselves in situations like that, we're thinking about a lot of this. Let's get real. Some people are thinking that they want it easy. And we always see those people going through those things. That's another problem. The reason we consider to look at these things as problems because they keep persisting. They keep happening over and over again. So there's no solution. Or no solutions.
Well, I have to tell you, through my personal and expert experience working in the law firm, you have a very valid case for a lawsuit, darling.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
I mean, at least to cover your medical bills, okay?
Because I was sitting there looking at the gym. The gym is a private gym. And then one guy put it to me like this. If you sue the gym, you're suing yourself because we all put our money together to keep this gym going.
Well,
and
look at it this way. I know, but here's the deal. You just need your medical bills covered. You're not trying to take any, pain and suffering time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But at least your medical bills. That's it.
Right.
You can still pay your fees and your dues, and they have insurance.
I was sitting there going with myself, same thing. In order to have a business even if it's a private gym where people get their own keys and they go into this place, it's still really a part of the public. So therefore, there has to be some kind of insurance to cover that.
They have to have insurance.
Yeah, and maybe they just talk everybody out of it so they never have to use it, but it does make you wonder.
They just don't want to pay the deductible. The deductible is pretty high, the liability.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, it's like, did everybody under? I was sitting talking to you when you were talking about dreams, and we were talking about the whole thing. Does anybody know this? This is cool. That I was watching this on the History Channel, and that's what I used to do on Wednesdays anyway. We talk about a lot of things like Atlantis and that kind of thing. They actually found on the plateau a fourth pyramid that actually, if it would have still been standing, would have. It was actually built on top of a hill that actually made it almost as tall or maybe a little bit taller than the Great Pyramid.
Mm-hmm. I thought I heard something about that the other day. This is new, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much because they were thinking at first that someone dismantled it or somebody didn't like the pharaoh who actually built it. Well, what they found out was, by tracing the history down, there was a guy who came in, he was an archaeologist, came into this thing back in the early 1900s, and when they started finding King Tut and that kind of stuff, and he was looking for his thing, he found this Great Pyramid. But what he found was he found artifacts first that were defaced and that kind of stuff. So they were thinking that back in the day of the pharaoh, people, you know, Egyptians had a good knack for doing that. If they didn't like you, they wanted you to disappear from history. So they would deface whatever you had. It didn't matter if you was a pharaoh or not. They would deface you and make you like you didn't exist. So it's the job of the archaeologist to actually find evidence to prove this. Well, what happened was they found out this pyramid was not just built on this hill as a, you know, just a hypothetical. It's built on the hill. It was built on the hill because this person wanted to give the format of his reign and his power to overshadow the freaking Great Pyramid, but not by much. It was actually, I think, a brother of Khufu, I think. Well, it's one of those brothers or something, a descendant in there. This guy came out of nowhere. But what they found out, the archaeologist who actually originally did this, who unearthed these things, had it wrong. What they found out was it was actually people coming in, in the early 20th century, dismantled the pyramid, which is the stones and stuff that were actually used for that pyramid. If you go into the city, you'll see it everywhere. They actually took those stones into the city to build buildings in the city. But people took the first artifacts that were found, they took it as a defacing and didn't realize that what had happened was in the process of tearing this thing down to utilize the stones and stuff for cities and for the buildings in the city.
To rebuild.
So there was a lot of things going on at the time. But also, there's another one that was really cool that I was going to bring up while I was talking about, because we were talking about dreams. Joseph.
Mm-hmm. My favorite story of all.
But do you know he has a pyramid in Egypt that you don't see on the normal tour, but it does exist and you can go there?
I'm sure it does.
Because I was watching the History Channel. My brother doesn't like the History Channel. I said, you know, why don't you just watch the History Channel for what it is? All they do is give you facts that they have and that kind of thing, but they always put it out there to where it makes you think. What it's all about, the History Channel is all, what the History Channel is all about is like when we're talking about past lives and stuff like that, is the ideal going out and being motivated to go look for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually had people who I've done past life readings for who've actually gone looking for things and have actually found them. And I always tell them, you know, it's like, okay, I feel like you're from the 2651 BC. You was in Egypt. Go check out that time. Because we've started talking about this as well, that it was proven the brain was smaller and now it's huge.
But right.
The
Egyptian people are tiny, you know.
Yeah, they also have the situation, you know, when we sit and go over these things real intensely, not realizing that in the process of everything that goes on, of all the things that come to light, and this one was one of those things too, where it's like with Joseph's pyramid, no one knows about these things. But the History Channel brings up things that make you think, make you go out and look for yourself, the certain things you want to do too as well, which if you look at early archaeology was the same thing. You saw these things. They sparked an interest in you that sparked other people to do things. That's why the thing has gone on for so long in life. But I was sitting there looking also, the Egyptians we're also, in some sense, see, I always do it like this. I look at things and go, okay, the Egyptian did some really funny things. King Tut was one of them. He had a very tall skull. They took off the little thing off the skeleton, and his head expands about six more inches up, like we would see with the aliens. He wasn't the only. Mm-hmm. There was also descendants of King Tut and somewhere in his family, and there was another guy too, who was a moon, who was actually one of the first persons that was focusing on the sun. I can't remember what his name was. But when they showed pictures of him, because most of the pharaohs, when they did their statues, they made him look like broad chest, broad shoulders. And this guy...
Oh, yeah, skinny waist, muscles, long hair, big eyes.
This guy was different. This guy basically made the statues the way he wanted, what he was.
Right,
he had
I remember. Yeah, he made him more beefy looking, like bigger, and more squared off, weren't they?
Well, he had those too, but the other one I'm talking about, the other guy, he had long eyes, like alien. We've always seen the alien with the big skulls.
Well,
the
Egyptologists believed that aliens actually helped the Egyptians build the pyramids.
Well, see, I trace it back further. I do it like this, okay? I take it back to the time of Atlantis and say that if we have descendants of Atlantis who came to Egypt and motivated these people who are wandering in the desert for so long, because it's a proven fact that they were wandering the desert. All of a sudden, they stopped wandering, and created this empire. You know, the Old Kingdom was one of the greatest kingdoms. I think it was either the oldest or the middle, because the latter, the New Kingdom, you know, it was pretty much the old thing. We have Cleopatra and all those kind of things, but those were great history stories. But when you go into the Egypt of the Old Kingdom and the Middle Kingdom, you really get some really things. Actually, people don't realize that, who was the guy, what's his name? Ramses. I think it was actually
Ramses.
It was actually, people don't realize this, but they're descendants. It was actually Ramses IV was the one who actually confronted Moses and actually had over 100 freaking kids.
Right.
And they were trying to do that whole thing, too. They were talking about the whole thing about him. His firstborn didn't die. His firstborn actually died in battle. But we also have to look at the situation of, you know, the stories might be a little bit off, that kind of stuff. It's also been proven that the Ten Commandments, it's not really going along with history, or as the Bible says it. It's actually a Hollywood little spin on it, you know. There's a lot of facts, a lot of truth, but there's also, it's a movie. So we have drama as well. So, you know, get all the things going on.
I've got to get back to Joseph for real quickly, if you don't mind.
I was going to say, was King Tut, and there's a couple pharaohs who actually had elongated skulls. And that one guy was telling about actually his skull. You remember when you saw Harrison Ford's, that last Raiders of the Ark movie he made?
Uh-huh.
Those skulls? That's what they found with the Egyptians. Mm-hmm. But what I was going to say was, I've actually traced it back, where I've done a lot of visions of past lives, and I always noticed that when Khufu was building his pyramid, he did it by himself. And the reason he did it by himself, because he was one of the last Atlanteans, and his telepathic abilities enabled him to actually move stones and move anything he wanted. But he was also a very arrogant man, because of he was one of the last Atlanteans, but he was like a descendant. So therefore, he was part Egyptian and part Atlantean. So therefore, he had this arrogance about himself. You know, I'm a pharaoh, I can do whatever I want. That he actually went and used his telepathic abilities to build the Great Pyramid. But in the process of building the Great Pyramid, he also basically did it by himself. Because every time I would do any kind of visions of any kind of past lives with him, or with anybody who was in at the time, I would see people working on stones. I saw people working on the temples. We know there's temples around the Great Pyramids and stuff. And all that stuff that was going on around there, I saw all that work going on. I saw 300 people, 300,000 people. They're all doing this, all kinds of stuff. But the only thing I didn't see was people working on the pyramid. But every time I would have a vision, it was like a movie. You would flash back to see the pyramid. You'd see the pyramid being built. But you would never see these people a part of it. But they were part of the masses. And so I started getting these visions where it was like an illusion. Like Khufu wants you to think. He wanted everybody else to think that in the process of building this pyramid, that they were all working together doing everything else. Because there's been so many theories on how to build a pyramid. It was actually said the pyramid,
exactly.
They said the pyramid, the Great Pyramid, was actually built in 28 years. If you actually do the math, that means they're putting a block in place about every 2-3 minutes. Even if it was only, if you knock it down a little bit and say, oh, maybe they're putting blocks in at 5 or 10 minutes, even that, with the kind of technology we got going back there, I'm not saying the Egyptians are having the influences from the Atlanteans didn't have some technology, because they did have pulleys and the whole bit, you know. Very strong.
Some of those blocks varied. Some of them were like the size of a bale of hay, and then some of them were, you know, like 6x9 solid, you know, granite or whatever.
Mm-hmm. They were just saying granite. That I saw the situation, and then they took me to another place where Khufu had actually basically, like I said, arrogance got him killed, because what he did was, in the process of exerting himself so much, he had an aneurysm and died. And you really don't get a lot of, there's not a lot out there on Khufu himself. And
uh-huh.
His arrogance, he did create a lot of enemies. And I think they've only found, like, a little statue was like, I think, 3 or 4 inches. That's the only thing
right.
They found.
Mm-hmm.
And they think he actually,
I remember that, yes.
And they were talking about where
right.
He had something to do with building the Sphinx, but I've actually seen some timing on that too, where it seems like it's more closer to 25. Was it between 10 and 25,000 instead of like there's like 4 foot, like what was it last? That's maybe like 5 or 6,000. Ooh, but they were sitting looking at the thing, going, "Oh, that's crazy."
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Let
me get off the
heat
meter.
Right. You were touching on Joseph, who was the dream interpreter for the Pharaoh of Egypt. And
it was actually put that way too, huh?
Pardon?
It's kind of funny how people talk about dreams and angels and stuff, but if you actually read the Bible itself, there's so much in the Bible that would actually contradict. Yeah, because people sitting there going, you should pray to angels. And if you sort of look at the situations of putting things in perspective of messengers, then no one, you know, there are sometimes people who sit there and it's a hard thing to deal with, because sometimes just in the process of speaking to angels, you could actually be interpreted as being praying. And I was like, okay.
It's definitely a prayer, no matter how
I'm saying is, well, like I said before, in Psalm 91, it says God gives angels charge over you. It also says in the Bible, God knows before you even ask. So how
right.
Do we know there's angels? Or not, you know, we have angels, and you're talking to angels, and you're doing the whole thing, and they're helping you with situations. We've had so many stories, too, of people saying angels intervening, or people praying
exactly.
And saying, I need some help in the situation, and all these things happening, to the point where when you hear stories like a lady who's scared to death because she works at a movie theater, and she every night she has to leave about 10 or 11 o'clock, and she comes back out there, to the point where she actually asks for, you know, angels to surround her and protect her. And one day she said she was, these people always come by, and it was always scary, scaring her all the time, always yelling and screaming at her and all kinds of weird things.
Uh-huh.
To the point where she was scared to walk home.
Uh-huh.
Right? Well, after she basically had recited this prayer about protection, that car
right.
came by one day. The car came by, but they didn't do anything. They was actually even looked a little bit intimidated themselves. She's a, uh-huh. I'm out here standing by myself. Well, she ran into one of these guys at a store who actually came up to her and said, so who was those 4 guys who were hanging out with you that night? Because that one guy was like 7 feet tall. And she's like, guys? And all she could think about was guardian angels.
Uh-huh.
These archangels that were protecting her. Because, you know, these people, why would they sit there and tell her something like that? Because they were scared to
exactly.
death of her. So, you know, we
exactly.
got this intimidation. But it wasn't intimidation. It was just the idea of calling in protection and saying, okay, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. And I'm okay with that. I have nothing to worry about.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to do. I think that's what we're talking about, relationships. So we could take the same energy for everything else we use in our lives. We have no problem with asking for certain things and jobs and careers and things with
right.
ourselves. But, boy, when it comes to relationships, we have a hard time letting go of those things. And detachment.
The problem with my relationship with my ex-husband is I have let go. He has come back 3 times already. I've let go. This is totally a different situation for me. I've never experienced this before. That was one of the reasons I called. But I got to let go again. I think that's what's more difficult, is knowing I have to let go again. And it's okay.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Oh, yeah, it's all right. It's fine.
It's okay.
Because we always say to tell everybody that...
Pardon?
I always say, it's like I tell everybody, when you let go, even if it doesn't happen with that person,
right,
I can guarantee it will happen with somebody, because you've let go.
Because
the other thing I've got, one thing I was focusing on too, is saying, okay, and it was kind of funny, after I listened to this lady last night, the reason I brought her up is when she started talking about, you know, the three keys to soulmate, of finding that person, opening up, she basically said that her astrologer, her psychic, and everybody's telling her it's not going to happen, it's just not the right time. But she said when she sat down there and focused and got detailed about everything she wanted to do and everything else went along with the whole thing, it happened. And I was there telling everybody.
Yeah.
The thing is, I get is, if we have, it says in the Bible, our birthright, we have dominion. So we have control over the world, universe, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
But also in the situation, we have to realize, a lot of people don't get this, is that if we have dominion over the world, don't we live in the world? So we have control over ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to sit there and realize that and go, okay, this is what I want, and go after it. But she was also saying something too, which kind of tipped on the things I've been telling everybody. When you make the conscious decision, this is what you want, you have to let go of everything. And I said the one thing that stands in people's way is cords. And if you say that you had a sexual relationship with that person, those are the strongest ones. And those are the ones that people don't think about. All they think about is, I'm attached to that person emotionally, but they don't realize how much emotion is attached to in the process of sexual activity, so you got to cut those. But also, if you are still thinking about, okay, I want to be with somebody, or even the ideal of something that you've already had and wanting to be again, you have to let go of everything. Even the positive memories of those times. When you let go of everything, it opens the door for the future, because any kind of focus on the past is basically the blocks, because they're still occupying space in your life. So therefore, in the process of doing that, not letting those go, how are you going to have anything new if there's no space for it?
Mm-hmm.
If you're still sleeping in the middle of your bed and you want to be with somebody, start sleeping on the side. If you're a person that comes home and parks your car in the middle of the garage, start parking on the side. Make room in the closet for your significant other. You know, these things, maybe you won't be living in the same house, but see, what you're doing is you're telling the universe, I'm serious. And then all the memories you've ever had anybody else. It's like looking at the world like this and sitting down and going, when I go out and I hook up with somebody as I'm going and dating, I've never done this before in my life. And if you think about it, at this point, if you're not dating anybody, you're not doing anything, at this point in your life, you're not lying to yourself. You're saying, this is the very first day of my life, so this is the very first time I've ever gone out with anybody. If you can do that and let go of everything in the past, then nothing will come back to bite you in the ass. So try it.
I have to try that. I hate dating. I've really never been a dater, even before I got married.
My biggest thing that I tell everybody is, listen to this one. I mean, the Bible is basically leans to the point of saying you should save yourself for your soulmate, your significant other, that you should have no sex before marriage and all this kind of stuff. So if you look at these things, you know, people say, well, you got to obey those laws. Well, take the whole stigmatism off the whole thing and look at the situation of God as your father. Is he not trying to do things to protect you from yourself? Because if this situation say that you listened to that one thing and you saved yourself or your significant other, you never had sex with nobody else until you met the right one, do you realize how much baggage you wouldn't have?
Right. Yes.
Just by listening to that one thing that wasn't trying to control you, and when it says when it says to obey the law, it's saying that these are the things that you already know. And you know the consequences, but you're trying to come up with a different outcome because you just don't feel like doing it that way. You know, you want to do it your own way. Every time you do it your way, you get yourself in a way.
There was I forgot who it was in the Bible who divorced one of his wives, course,
it wasn't Charles
Manson.
I guarantee it wasn't Charles. Did you know that? I'm just saying, people look at Moses as the biggest thing in the mind. They always think Charles Manson.
He really wanted his wife back. So they remarried, and God made things really difficult for them, because the reason being is that they had both been with other people. So mm-hmm. they had actually, in all essence, in our language, had taken on karma. In the Bible language, they had taken on the spirits of other people. And they had to work through those spirits to make that marriage work again. And it was very difficult. Yeah, it was very difficult. But they loved each other more than anybody else, you know.
What was more important, right? And they figured out what was more important. And they went along with that. So therefore they...
Exactly. And like I said, there's... read the Three Kings. And read the Kings is so fascinating. I mean, oh my God.
I got some... Let me see here. I got like 20-some minutes left in the show, and I got some people still in the queue and everything else. And you have to come on my show sometime, too, where we can just sit and continue and pick up on this conversation again. So
definitely.
I was going to say I would invite you to my show, but I think I just did. But
I'll have some more information for you next time we discuss, have any discussion. I was calling basically for selfish reasons. But
no problem.
But I was pleasantly surprised, to get into this conversation with you. It's been very, very pleasant, very nice.
I hope everybody else enjoyed as much as we have.
I hope they did.
Learned a lot, yeah.
And again, I'm going to plug you myself. I'm telling you people, really, do yourself a favor. Let this man give you a past life reading. You will not, the only thing you will regret is not doing it.
Well, thank you.
You've got to do it.
Thank you.
Serious.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they're all listening, because I'm prepared right now.
And it's very rare that people are willing to do what you're doing. So, you know, people don't realize what a blessing that they're actually going to be getting.
Well, thank you. And I hope so, too. Because, you know, that's my biggest goal, too, is that, you know, I think we all would sit back and just focus on the service itself. Everything else we need would come mm-hmm. along with it, so.
That's right. Well, you have a pleasant rest of the evening. I hope your listeners and your readers enjoy the rest of the evening as well. And thank you so much for your time. And looking forward to you coming on our show called Sidekicks, which is
SIDEKIX.
And I'd love for you to come on.
No problem.
All right. And, thank you so much. And
you're welcome.
Put
we'll
out
talk to you
the
later.
Universe that you've taught me tonight.
Well, you're welcome.
Okay, thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye now.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, just going to another caller. Let's see here. I'm going to go with this one here. Okay, area code 918. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm sorry, we took so long to get you
right. It's a long conversation.
Well, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Well, we're hoping everybody's listening because these things have a tendency to happen quite a bit because people call in and they'll go, well, you're taking too long on that last person, which it's more of a self-centered thing. And I tell everybody, if you listen to what's being said, you will realize I'm not doing readings for everybody as in that length. It's just information that's been tapped on.
Yeah.
Because of the person or the subject, or just a combination of two people coming into the thing. And then I've told people, because I've had people call me and said this, I was listening to your show, I was going to come on and ask a question, but you've already answered it. So see, there's a lot of things, miracles happen all the time, if we're just willing to open ourselves up to it and say, okay, that was kind of good, I think I just learned something. And me personally, I know for a fact why I do readings for people, it's the people that are getting the reading and me. It's like a learning lesson for everybody. I mean, I've always come away from
it. Because we all mirror each other and everything, and we're all the same.
Yeah.
I did find a lot of things that was talked about helpful to me, but I can't lie. A lot of things was kind of like, okay, it's been like 2 hours now. And I was like brushing my teeth and washing my face. And because I was like so stubborn. I'm like, I want to get through here. I'm going to freaking get through here.
And you did.
So much time into it. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm going to wait. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. So I don't call these places very often at all. I mean, I really don't. And something told me to just hang on and, you know, because I speak to angels too. And, well, I don't speak to them, but I feel them. I just have a problem with actually trusting, you know, my intuition with them a lot. And it takes people like you and you know, to help me clarify the messages that I get through. And sometimes, remember, you know, I don't really understand certain things. So I'm like, I first called, and this is like, what, like 5 hours ago? And then I was like, yeah, he'll answer, because I was thinking, okay, it's fine. Because I was like one of the first callers, but she called before me. And I'm like, okay, this is going to like take like probably like 15 minutes. But no, it didn't. It took like 5 hours. But honestly, it really was cool because I did learn some things. And it was amazing. I mean, you guys talked about a lot of the situations that I've been thinking about. So, yeah, it was pretty cool that I got to hear some of that stuff. So,
Where are you calling from?
And I have to say that you do remind me of Peter from the Bible, too. Gotta say that.
Who? Me?
Because you do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really? Like, if I, like for my mom to hear that one.
Very much so.
So you're 918. Where's that at, if I may ask?
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. Oh, Oklahoma, where the wind goes to... Okay. That was actually one of my favorite musicals. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, I was saying... Yeah, so... So you got through...
I was talking about...
You got through. I'm ready to... I'm ready. You got through. I'm ready to listen to you.
I was only calling for a spontaneous message. That's all. I wasn't asking a question. I was going to ask anything. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to ask a spontaneous thing because I figured... I thought... Because, you know, I don't call just anybody. I mean, I don't call... Mm-hmm. I probably only call, like, three people. Three or four people out of all the blog talk people, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so I like, okay, well, I have a feeling I should call Tristan. And so I just called I called you, and then I had to leave, like, the phone. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to stick to this and see what he has to say. And I'm like, okay, it's spontaneous. So you just say whatever you feel or whatever, you know, because you're... You and just say whatever you say.
Okay. Well, the one thing that came to me the quickest was when you started talking about the ideal clarification and not listening to your intuition. And the first thing that came to me was almost like a quote from God saying that you pray, that's your phone line to me. And in the process of the situation of answering you, I answer it through your intuition. And it's also the ideal of putting everything into play. So therefore, you can actually understand. It's like when you feel your angels and you feel and your guidance is coming through, it's the idea of understanding that it's okay to ask for clarification if you don't understand. They're not going to look at you any other way, as in, okay, she's stupid. They're going to look at you and go, okay, no problem. This helps you understand because they definitely want you to understand, so therefore you can utilize everything that comes through. And you have a lot of information that comes through. You have a lot of angels around you, too. I get the impression that, God, there's a lot of times you're really stubborn, and even though that you need to know, like, I know what I got to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go right through it. But then again, there's other times that they're really trying really hard, hoping that you would catch those things, but making a definite decision to say nope. But I get this impression with them, too, is you're learning very quickly and you're listening more than you ever have. And you're getting to a point where it's the understanding that guidance doesn't come through what you hear. It's what you feel. It's also the idea of what you see. Why do you have, I don't know, I get this impression that you really have a tough time with clairvoyancy than you do with clairaudience.
Yeah, I get both, but I don't know. You think I have a more problem with feeling than hearing? Is that what you're saying? Or I mean,
well,
hearing and feeling, or what?
No, clairvoyance is when you see. I mean, people talk about the third eye. That's your clairvoyance. That's it. Seeing.
I get that sometimes too. So I mean, sometimes it's even, but sometimes I have more problems with. I don't know. It's just like it's complicated. I can't understand it. I have all of those things. But
yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. But you trust. Mm-hmm. I guess the way it came to me was you're more into hearing. It's easier for you to hear than it is to pay attention to a vision or even to a feeling.
Yeah, I get like feelings, like they're not like voices, but they kind of are, like inside,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like kind of like almost like that. But then again, I also get visions and stuff too. So I don't know. It just depends on whatever. But I just don't always trust what I see and feel because it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like doing a little, I don't know. It's like how to teach yourself to do that. It's basically just letting go. Whatever comes in, whatever comes first, just go with it spontaneously. Doesn't matter if you understand
it
or not.
I try to, but, well, the thing is that, you know, I've done that so much that people have made me feel like that I'm wrong or something, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying, sweetie. What you need to do is a situation of you listen to what you know you need to do, because that's the hardest part about the whole thing is when things come to you, and that kind of thing. I had the same problem too. People will come in and say, "Well, no, that's wrong." It wasn't to the point where I started understanding what I was doing readings for people, but a lot of them are not going to agree with what's going on because the idea of searching for the truth. Mm-hmm. Some people are not really willing to look at it. So when you sit there and focus on things and you see things for what they are, you just need to follow through with it. So because it's like. Basically, the angels are saying you do trust what you feel and see and hear. It's just that when someone else comes to the picture as a physical form, they have a tendency to rule out what you heard spiritually. To realize if you just listen to that whole thing, because I started doing that where it was just like, okay, no matter what anybody says or whatever happens, I'm going to just start following this thing to the letter and realize that the term second guessing yourself says it all, that we already know. That we're second-guessing ourselves. So when we stopped doing that and started looking at the situation, going, okay, this is what's going to happen. And I did that. I would sit there and look at things and feel things and go, okay, I need to walk in town. I mean, shoot, I had a job working in town for almost 3 months, and I didn't question it one other. I would walk into town. It was like I had to walk 20 minutes to get to the highway. But I knew for a fact, as soon as I got to the highway, I was going to get a ride to work. And I was always half hour early. I was never late. It wasn't until I actually started relying on somebody from work to come pick me up that I was ever late. But when I listened to my intuition and started doing things like that, I swear to you, I rode in some guy's truck. This guy, it was like every Thursday, this guy would pull up there. And we're talking about, when I went to work, it was for a shift.
Wow.
So we're talking about 6
perfect.
O'clock. Yeah, it was 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay, 6 o'clock in the morning, and this guy pulls up. Seriously, I swear, this guy pulled up in a pickup truck. He didn't roll his window down or nothing. He had tinted windows. He just sit there. And something just came. Something came.
That's
up and
awesome,
said,
though.
just get in the back of the truck and go. I'd get in the back of the truck. This guy would drop me off of work. He would just stop. I would get out of the truck and go to work. And it did. I mean, it was one of those things. People said, "Well, it's kind of dangerous, isn't it?" I said, "Why is it dangerous? Because nothing ever happened." And eventually, 3 months later, the guy stopped one day. It was always on Thursdays. He stopped. He rolled his window down. And he said, "Hey, man. My name's Chris." He said, "I thought since we've been doing this for so long, I'd introduce myself." But see, that.
It was your intuition, and you yeah. already knew that he was okay and stuff, though.
So.
Right?
But yeah, but I was. But at the same time, I was still like in the situation like you're talking about. It was just I had to finally say, okay, the only way I'm going to change this is for me to do something and mm-hmm. listen. And say, okay, when I listen, I know for a fact when I used to listen. And I, you know, we have. I think we all have problems from time to time, but I do know for a fact that when I listen and I follow spontaneously, good things happen. They always have. And even in the process of, say, you lose something, like most of us have a tendency to be attached to, like, cell phones and stuff like that, I started finding out that when I lose something, something else would come along that was actually better. So it definitely said, and
yeah.
I actually had, it was one, had this one affirmation I used to say all the time that said that exact same thing. Every time something leaves my life, something better is coming.
Yeah, that is true. I know. And I did like your poem that you did say. And I love that poem, actually, you know. Can you say it again, actually?
Really? We have a request. I've never had a request for my poetry, but no, am I going to pass it up? No.
I loved it. I'm a poet myself, so I love poetry.
Which one?
Everything.
Which one did you like? It was bad. It was Mad. The first one I read on the air was
the
called
last
Bad.
One. The last one that you read.
The last one is
the one about the twin flames or something or whatever it was. Or
well, let me read it here.
Something
maybe,
about.
Okay, but, the last one I read, yeah, was this one. It was called Why. And it starts off with, every tear that falls from my eye, I still ask myself what happened, asking why. You, your face, so fresh in my mind, as is your beautiful essence of the times when you were kind. Waiting for the time of your happy return, from the day we parted, my love still yearns. Me with you, we are so strong. My life without you would be so wrong. For every tear that I cry for you, I know our love for each other is true. Open your heart and let us be. Let me hold you in my arms and marry me. Now, if that was the one?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it the one where I was mad? Was that the one?
That's the one that I liked, the one that you just read. That's the one that I heard. I came in late. So I didn't hear the other one. So I just heard that one.
Yeah, the other one was basically we were talking about earlier was because I was mad, and I was asking myself why, which is kind of funny. This one's called Why, but this is more of a wondering why. But the last one was Mad and asking why, and I was telling everybody, I said, the reason it doesn't have an ending, per se, is because when we get in that kind of mode and asking why, a lot of times there is no ending. And we make a decision to just let it go.
And that's why it makes so much sense to me right now, because I'm kind of going through something like that. I mean, I've been going through a situation with somebody that, you know, it's just really complicated.
So when's your birthday?
January 8th, 82.
You okay? That's okay. Maybe we should have read that poem, huh?
No, it's fine. Sorry. I feel sad. I feel, like, really weird now because I don't want anybody, like, I don't cry, like, and, like, no.
It's okay. No problem. Take the time. Just, you know. I'm just saying. I was actually looking.
Okay, well, my birthday is January 8th, 82. And,
January 8th, 82.
Yeah.
And you were having trouble with... Great. How old are you?
I'm turning 30 soon.
Oh, you'll be turning 30 soon. I thought you said you were 33. I'm like, no, you're not.
No, 30.
Well, me personally, when I turned 30... I think that's when life started, because I just didn't really, you know, I just really didn't.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I mean, I'm not what I'm upset about at all. I like turning 30. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like my ages. I'm upset about something else. It's just like.
So do you think? Do you think that when, let's say, you're sitting there thinking, you're sitting there, you know, just doing your little thing, and all of a sudden you start thinking about somebody. And you start seeing these visions and pictures and kind of stuff like that, knowing that in the past we've had exes that we can't even remember. We know of them, but we just really can't remember what they look like, that kind of stuff. It doesn't bother us one way or the other, but then we have a person that comes to our mind. You got the, not just pictures, but very vivid pictures, just things where you feel like at that moment as you're feeling them and you're seeing these visions, that you feel at that moment that you're just not thinking about them, but they're thinking about you.
Mm-hmm. I do. You
can tell a lot. I'm just saying, I'm just saying, the debate is gone where if you're thinking about somebody, they're not thinking about you. And I really have a hard time with that one.
Oh, I get it.
Anyway, for everybody who didn't make it on tonight, please call back and please come visit. I'm trying to get this out too. Please come visit us on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have a show at 11 o'clock on Friday and Saturday and Sunday. I'm sorry, 11:30 for 2 hours. And actually, I guess that's the reason I was even asking for donations and trying to really bum up business is because I want to put more money into the show so we can actually go up to a premium plus where we can actually do a 3-hour show actually on the air. And put that into format because it seems like I'm always out here for 3 hours anyway.
I think we should.
I didn't hear you. Go ahead.
I said, I'm sorry I cried like that because I don't cry like that in front of people.
That's okay. If you make a donation, we'll forget all about it. I'm just kidding. But, but no, you know, I think sometimes we have a tendency to really hold on to some emotions. And I had a sister like that. She called me up one day and she's just crying. She said, I've been crying all freaking day. How come I can't stop? I said, this is what happens when you hold on to everything.
No, I don't cry all day. Something just came out and just started crying. I don't know. I mean,
you want me,
I'll cry.
Maybe
like,
should read you another poem. Get
what?
More emotion. I said we should read another poem so we can actually help her really cleanse, okay?
Because no,
I always feel like when you cry, it's a cleansing. And what I was saying was, I'm not saying you've been crying all day. I'm just saying with her, she couldn't understand it, but it was definitely something she was holding on to a lot. So she went through a lot of relationships and stuff like that, and she thought, I'm fine, I'm okay. When she's just suppressing all the feelings, and all of a sudden they just came out to the point where there were so many of them, it took a long time. But it was just a really,
yeah.
I told her, I said, what happened? I said, when you're done, how do you feel? And she said, I feel like 100 pounds lighter.
Yeah.
So it was an instant releasement. So when you sit there and
I
start
say
hearing
that
you,
crying is like cleansing, is cleaning you. You know, it's like rain.
So you
have, feel how it helps the earth and cleans the earth. It's just like the same way with crying. Whenever you cry, you let all that out. And
yeah, you had some suppressive feelings there too that came out.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually 2-2. It was actually I've seen this tonight, man. 2-2-2, 2-2-2, 2-2-2, and it's like everything's working itself out this way it's supposed to, and all the kind of things going in. And I was telling you about that too. I was like, okay, why would I have this notion of getting back with this or being reunited with this girl? It's because I've talked to her about it on the show. I've brought up her examples and kind of stuff, and then I see the 2-2-2s. And I don't know if you came in late or not, but I can actually tell you.
What do you mean by that? I mean, like, what does that mean?
That's what I'm gonna tell you.
Are you like a numerology? Do you numerology at all?
Well, we sent it all the cards. I've done it from a point more on a personal level, because I was always wondering why I was so fascinated with 11s, and when I started studying.
I'm an 11 actually. I have like 3 11s in my numerology thingy, whatever.
Sorry. So are you a master? I'm just saying. If,
yeah.
You know, so let me ask that too. I'm a master.
I'm
a master number 11. That's what I am too.
Yeah.
So I was like,
you are?
Looking at the whole. Yes, I am.
Wow, I can tell. But go ahead with the 2-2 thing.
So I was telling everybody when you looked at the 2, listen to this. In the process of another realization, it says, trust that everything is working out exactly as it's supposed to, with divine blessings for everyone involved. Let go and have faith. So it was like the situation. A lot of people have been telling me, this is like a cross group of people. So they're going, okay, you need to call this girl. And you need to open up. You need to talk to her. You need to, you know, basically, what's the harm? And all this other stuff. Then have on the other side, who are people who are very passionate about that side too, of saying, no, don't call her. And I waited. Okay, I was being very patient. I let go, and all of a sudden, the people that were telling me to call her started siding with the people who told me not to, which was also going along with I was getting guidance where I say, okay, Angel, should I call her? I got to know. And it says, in the process of a person wanting you to call them, that's a given. But at the same time, doesn't mean you should